And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm here. I got up late because I got to bed early and I napped and it jacked my crap up, man. It's all my sleep cycle is so mad. I took a long nap yesterday and that messed me up. So, but it's nice to be all semi-sort of rested. This is what we're going to do today is we had in the first hour, we had scheduled James Corbett, the Corbett Report. But he had a baby. He had a baby. So he's going to, skip this week. He said be on next week. But congratulations to James Corbett for having a baby, I don't even know. I don't think this is his first one. I don't even remember. But congratulations, James, having a baby. That you get off for that. The in the second and third hour, we're going to take a couple hours. We're going to talk about it. Christina Tobin, fair and equal, free and equal. I think elections. She's all about making sure that third parties and other candidates get to have a say. Yeah, freeandequal.org. Free and equal. She has been, she and I have discussed it, at length, and yesterday we had a discussion. What she's going to be talking about is in the 14 election cycle, I think it was, or 12, there was a controversy with UCLA. They, got, pressure from those and decided that they weren't going to, we want to cancel the venue and kind of didn't. And then they had a, it was a big band. I can't remember. It was some, group that was performing, and then they go, no, we changed our mind. You can do it back. This didn't work out well for a nap. Too late. The band already canceled, and we, it's just, so it's a mess. And they have a legal action, and of course, they want damages of $1 billion. So we'll see what happens with that. And they have October 23rd, 25th, around in there, they have a presidential debate planned, and of course everybody's invited. We'll see what happens. Certainly, the third parties and so on will participate. And I go, what's our criteria? And I think the criteria is if you can have enough on the ballot in enough states to get enough electoral votes to be president, I guess you qualify. So that's cool. This is, I should read the article. Still voting. This is, I think maybe I'll do that. There was an article they asked me to write in 2000. And it comes back every now and then, somebody will see it or comment on it or something like that. And it's just clairvoyant. I mean, you could see how long ago? 16 years ago. I'm going, God, you're still voting? This is, by the time that you're going to be begging us to vote so somebody will, participate in your debates as libertarians so that somebody will watch them. Maybe we'll do that. There's a lot of things that we can talk. I was hoping that, Christina should schedule for the second hour, but I'm hoping that, I think it's going to get, informative and lively. We may go into a third hour with her, and I told her that we might do that because, it's hard to keep faith with a system that's this bad. And she's trying to keep faith, man. She's like, freeandequal.org. She has a lot of, you know, contributors and funders, and you wonder who they are. You know, at some point, if she starts to fade, you know, it's going to be a U.S. government grant to get the people still interested. Yeah, don't want to play. All right, we'll go ahead and go over some of the top stories here in the first hour. I'll go ahead and, because there's a lot of news going on. Donna prints out each morning for me to go over some of the most popular stories on Freedom's Phoenix. And just because that's what you guys like, I guess. All right, 9/11 intercepted. Now, there's a topdocumentaryfilms.com. They have a new documentary, 9/11 Intercepted. What happened on the morning of September 11th? Why were 2001? Why were U.S. defenses ineffective? Pilots for 9/11 Truth analyzed NORAD response, audio recordings, as well as radar data provided by government agencies. Now, the war games that were going on, and it was just weird stuff that was happening. One of the other things is I did start watching this, and I go, okay, I'll set that aside. When I got time, I'll go ahead and watch that and pull it up on YouTube and watch it, you know, from my bed and just kind of, you know, big screen it, and we'll see what's up. And it was interesting enough for me to do that. And then there was 9/11 Truth, Follow the Money, and that was a James Corbett piece. And I about halfway through that, damn, there's a lot of evidence that somebody somewhere doing fine, they knew. Patrick Byrne was talking about doing his T0 blockchain technology and doing stocks and so on. It would make this forensic investigation on this kind of advanced knowledge a lot easier to track, which is one of the points. You want it to be, you know, trackable and who owns what and where, and kind of, you know, it's a public offerings of public companies, and you want it to be public, you know, where these guys want it to be dust. You know, we hid in the corners and did, and kind of, and it's gone, and you don't know who did it. So there is a lot of advantages of going to a new method of exchanging stocks and so on. I'm not sure that the individual should be secret or not, or I don't think so. You're dealing with the public offerings like this, you know, that's and you want it to be. That's kind of like saying you don't want to anyone to know who owns a property. It's like you go to the county recorder and says, no, this guy owns it. It's right here. At least a trust or something, you know. So we'll see how that turns out. But the evidence of what happened, you start going, they'll say, no, there's nothing, we're not looking here. And you go, why aren't you looking here? These guys did millions of dollars of put options and so on these airlines, like days before, and because they're friends of the Bushes. Oh, well, hell yeah. You definitely want to look then. Oh, but they don't have any terrorist ties. Oh, yeah? What's Carlisle? You know, so it was just very interesting. And I'm just, how much do we need to know about that? I'm just for abandoning it, not worrying about it anymore. How schooling leads to war. This is an interesting article. And this is done by Dan Sanchez, and we found out about Dan. I've seen his stuff before, and we posted it. It's on antiwar.com. But Scott Horton's a big fan of Dan Sanchez, and he kind of, you know, made sure that we got to see all his stuff and take it seriously. And as I read his articles, I can see why. This one is about if you're going to public school, you know, government schools, you're getting indoctrinated and we need to have some war. So when we do things like stop wars, home educate, man, I just hit right on the nail with these guys, and I'm sure you like that. But the bottom line of this is, like, throughout history, is that the reason we have wars and a supportive populace is because they're indoctrinated in the government schools to be such a way. Yeah. One other thing that was interesting, it's called a TWEEL. Michelin is opening its first plant. It's a, I'd have to show you. You can probably see the graphic a little bit there. But it's a wheel and tire all in one thing without air. And it's just a flexible wall, and it has the regular tread on it and everything. We've been following this for years, and it looks like they're finally going into production. It'd be really good for things like, you know, your little home tractor or your lawnmower or your, you know, little carts or wagons and whatever, you know, you're just tired of fixing holes and changing inner tube, and this would stop that.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 641-552-5046. That's 641-552-5046.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, in the background on the video, I'm just going to show Blue Origin, the Shepherd, is the name of the ship, I think. Blue Origin is Jeff Bezos from Amazon space program. And this is like the third time that it's gone into space and come back and landed. Now, his is just, you know, it's a straight shot up and down, so it's not like, you know, SpaceX thing. But, I mean, it's still, you know, almost as cool. Yeah, as cool. So he's going to be pretty soon, there's going to be putting people on their capsule, and then we'll see what's up. So we're just showing that in space, and that's coming back to land, and, you know, thrusters on and turbines of speed and stuff. So that's kind of cool. This is, yeah, it's just going to be commonplace. It's going to be commonplace. And we're going to, you know, inspiration of the next generation, we're going to get some. I can see it happen. This is the newspaper. We'll see. We're probably going to go to press by the end of the week. And I run it up to about 90 miles away, pacing round up small town that we've been doing this for over 20 years. That we go and do our papers, and they're still there. You know, they're publishing stuff for everybody. And I go in and I say, "Here's the files," and we send them to them. I go and I just pick it up, and then we start distributing it and sending it, and we're good. Yep, there's the video, and it's landing. You get to see the shadow of itself as it touches down. Out in, I think they're in West Texas. You know, it's out in sagebrush scrub of Texas. So they're. Very secretive. They're kind of, you know, holding it close to what I'm not really sure what they're doing or, you know, why. I guess it's for tourism. But let's go ahead and talk about the newspaper. Donna, how's the newspaper coming? You about done?
Almost done. I have one more article. I have one more article to enter, and I just sort of have to go through it and fine tune everything. Make sure all the pages are right and all the graphics and all that stuff. But and maybe add a few more things. But, I mean, yeah, and yours, of course, your article.
I always hold mine last, you know, because I want to read the whole thing. I went through about half of it, about 20 pages of it already. And, you know, just highlighting obvious, you know, little this formatting, this line, this thing, this word, this comma, this, you know, this editing, you know, there's... people did pretty good this time. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff, but, you know, just, you know, grammar, yeah, I mean, little stuff, just mistakes and so on. And, you know, as much as I can do, I mean, you know, I'm not the guy to be doing that, but, you know, I go through and Donna, you know, makes all the corrections and everything. And then after it's all done, then I'll fill in the blanks, you know, then I'll go ahead and write my article and kind of give the theme of the whole thing and what we wanted to accomplish and accomplished and, why this edition is important. And it is. What's the flavor you think of it?
People are just finding their own way around all the regulation and the government BS, and they're just finding ways to do business and with different currency, cryptocurrencies and bartering systems and just finding a way around everything. It's definite kind of an F you to the man.
You know, one thing, Alessandro Fascio is an attorney in Europe, and his whole thing was he focused on, it was a presentation that he gave at an Arcapoco, and it was similar to that, not as wide a scope as his presentation, but basically he focused on this one. There's a lot of constitutions in Europe, but this one he focused on the Italian Constitution. And he goes, you know, this whole, you know, think about it, right after it's World War II, 1948, I think it was. They're you know, we're gonna do it right this time. That fascism, that Mussolini thing didn't work out. So we've had World War One, World War Two. We're going, you know, let's see if we can bite. We want to, you know, this Constitution is based on, you know, what, peace, freedom. You know what's it based on? Work. I mean, it says that work. Work why? Well, so you can pay taxes. So the whole purpose of this government is be a tax slave. And, man, they held up true to that. So he was just going, wow, man, in small beginnings, you know, little acorns turn into mighty oaks of we rule you. And that's kind of the point that he was making. He gives a lot of examples in the Constitution and subsequent laws and the society and so on. And now it's coming full circle, and it looks like you go, but we survived. We survived the barbarians. We survived the fall of the Roman Empire. We survived, we survived, we survived. And I think humanity basically survives. It's just, where they don't want us to evolve to is where we don't need them. And that's coming. I mean, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be, fits and starts. We'll see. We'll see. There's always, we'll see. It's all about public opinion. It's all it is. It's just, the public are too stupid and the sheeple and they can't blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Economics is going to, backhand them upside the head, with a full force of an X-Man. And it's going to be as they're going winging across, horizontal across the ground until they slam into a sea container. And, they start coughing up blood and go, okay, I don't need the government anymore. I'm good. I'll do it myself. And I think that's about what's going to have to happen. One of the, what's some of the articles that stuck out to you?
Oh, geez. My head's still kind of immersed in all of it. But yeah, the Alessandro's, the Living in the Socialist Commonwealth is the title of it. You got Tones doing things on Bitcoin, different, the Made Safe, things like that. So, I mean, just a lot of different things going on.
There was, what were, I don't even remember.
And some of the things that are going on in Poland and Ukraine the European things.
Well, we wanted to be kind of international, and what we had is these young kids coming to Arizona doing different projects here. They were inspired by their visits years ago, and they went back and they created a program. Really, it was an excuse for them to be able to come back to America. That's what was going on. Yeah, we're going to create an organization so that other people can experience it, and we can stay in Arizona. So he brought his girlfriend here, fiance, and they created a program for a conduit for these interns for different Arizona businesses, for them to come and get jobs and experience America. And the big thing was, is they want to take back what they learned here to try, because the youth around Europe, is they understand what the problems are. They read some Adam Smith and Mises and Rothbard and all this, they get exposed to this language of liberty, which is what Glenn Kripe has been doing. You have ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty, and so on. That was one thing Alessandro Fusillo from Italia, did I say it right? He was thinking he was all alone. He's like, I'm alone. What am I going to do? There's nobody here. I'm going, the heck there's not, man. I go, there's a lot of people. I will hook you up. Don't you worry about it. So when we did that and got him to visit with a lot of these people and start speaking at different things, he's going, okay.
It's nice to know you're not alone. You just want to think free, and you think that that's somehow like a weird thing. But
there were three that I carried over from the last edition. I wanted to make sure got in this one because they were so good. The one from Richard Grove about tragedy and hope. We had a repeat of Larkin Rose and Authoritarian Sociopathy. Those three I wanted to have in this edition also. But we got a new one. The last one was I'm Sorry, apologizing to the young generation how much we screwed them by Paul Rosenberg. This one's Without Apology.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading Tuesday, gold is even at $1,265 per ounce. Silver is 9 cents higher at $17.16 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $453. Yesterday's drop in gold, silver, and platinum brought on by U.S. dollar strength against the yen affords a new opportunity to buy on the dip. Give us a call at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Oh, I had to push the button. Celebration for Criminals. Mark J. Victor's got a new article in the newspaper. We have a young woman from Poland and another guy that's separate from them from Poland that I remember interviewing. I forgot that he was in here. I'm just looking. I haven't read this one yet. He was, he's a politician, man. That boy's got skills. He's good looking, educated, knows it, and he's gonna get some. So he's making use of his experiences here, and he's going to take it back. And we'll see what happens. Poland. And we've been talking to these kids since like 10, 11. And they go back, graduate, be influential, have thousands of people go to their seminars and attend their workshops and such. And they're just wanting to share the inspiration that they got by coming here. And then have some others, and it just really perpetuated a kind of a little mini revolution there in some small towns. They ran for office. They were inspired by the revolution, and they would expose them to libertarian ideas. And so it's an infection, the injection of libertarian infection in the worldwide politics for which there is no cure, you know, and having this news. And that's one thing. They all speak English. If you're under, I don't know, 40, you know, certainly under 30, English is your second language. So you might detect an accent, but man, they communicate just fine. In fact, you know, they write well too. So I'm going, okay, well, I guess they take it serious. Also, Luke, check his spelling of his name you got up here. I think you got it wrong. Ruskowski. I think it's Rudkowski.
Rudkowski. Yeah. Isn't that what I have it?
Oh, here it's R-U-S.
Okay.
Yeah, go fix that, because that would be bad. Yeah, you got it right over here, but wrong over here. You don't get that right. I got to ask, I go, okay, so exactly how do you say, I don't care. You know, I go, hey, man, it's your name. Changing the World, that's his article. You know, talking about what he's a state morons regulating us into poverty by Charles Goyette. That's a new article by him. And, Living in a Socialist Commonwealth, Alessandro Fascio. Tone did a good job. Also, he's going to be speaking at... we were going to share a room in Marrakesh, and I canceled my participant trip because of family emergency stuff. But Tone wrote an article that kind of mirrors his presentation, and he does a really good job. And I would think that, yeah, they need to, what he has to say, the way he did it and the presentation that he gave, I thought was very informative. He did it in Acapulco, and I encouraged them to have him did the same presentation in Africa, so he's going to do well there. On his way to Europe, as a matter of fact. Elect an Overseer or Join the Rebellion by James Babb. And it's always good to have James in there, man. He's going to give it what for. And his main thing, he's respectful, but he's critical of Walter Block's Libertarians for Trump thing. And it's just like, this lesser of evil argument has just fallen flat. And he's like, no. So he does a good job in calling BS on that. And Richard Grove, he's, got another one. Celebration for Criminals. I'll read you the first paragraph by Mark Victor, and then you'll see where it goes. I'm sure the central planners will be shocked, considering the fine job the state has done administering or regulating the healthcare industry, the airline industry, the education system, the Social Security system, the economy, the tax system, and our national defense, who would have expected the state would ruin the criminal justice system. They did such a good job and everything. Why would you think they'd mess up the criminal justice system? I hope the central planners are happy after years of abuse and contorting the criminal justice systems for political gain. The party is over and the secret is out. The criminal justice system is dead. It does not produce justice, nor does it protect people or their property. And he goes on, you know, about him. His brother is an attorney in Boston, also a criminal defense attorney, Scott. We've met him several times. And it's all cracking around. And that's kind of the point that I wanted to make. Not only is this worship or faith in government being lost, it's being lost internationally, and it's a generational thing, and it's so, you know, how did you know? How did you not know? This is going to be common knowledge, through an entire generation. So where better to put this kind of publication than the National Libertarian Party Convention? So that's where she'd be going. And I went to, we had the party over the weekend. A lot of our supporters and readers and everything were there. And I said, I really only need 5,000 copies. We did 10,000 before, and it took us like months to get them all out. Not that I minded. It was kind of timeless edition anyway. But I'm going, I only need 5,000 to do my commitments of what I needed and around the world and get the plate down. I said, but, it's like $400 or $500 to do another 5,000. If you guys, got need for them or you want them done, we've got, boom, $400. And I go, okay, I guess we'll print some more. If you guys want to print more, send me money, man. I just keep them presses going. And, but it's the newspaper. What happened this weekend was Luke Rutkowski, We Are Change, did a video of me in the lab. We were just talking about, stuff. And we put two links to the magazines that we did. One that defined and had pictures and everything and talked about what we were doing with the battery project. And then the other one that I mentioned was about should we stay or go. And the cover that I had Athena do for it, when I say go, I mean go. I mean, space station orbiting Mars, mining asteroids was depicted in that one. And both of those just shot up. I mean, our traffic went stupid. I'm going, holy crap, man. How many subscribers do you have? And he goes, like 300 and something thousand. And I go, okay, you should do that more often. So it's I'm not really pushing the social media yet. We're getting right into where it looks like. When the distributed internet hits, we're going to really crank up all our social media and tease that. And the rest of it is over here. They're good. It's like a lot of the guys, they listen to the archive. Yeah, you have to wait for me to upload the archive because a lot of the conversation in the breaks with the guests, they go, God, man, that's some of the good stuff there. I go, yep, you got to go for the rest of it. Well, we may put the archive on the new distributed internet. Made you go. And I go, no, but that's not, and I want it. I don't care. You're confusing me with somebody that cares. My thing is, it was never about traffic or, it's about driving the future. How can I do that? How can I facilitate that? How can I encourage that? There's more content here. That can never go away, by the way. So then, of course, Made Safe has an updated article in this one. So this is kind of what and Donna's been doing magazine and newspapers for a long time, and I'm glad she's doing it because, less brain damage for me. But it's, how difficult is it, Donna? I mean, is this a big giant thing? Is it organizational? Is it just tedious? I mean,
it's all of those. It's not hard for me because I know the system and how it works, but it's very tedious to make the QR codes because there's a lot of steps you have to make to go just make each one. So to put as many as we have in the paper is just labor. I'd be done with it weeks ago if I didn't have to do all the QR codes. Let's just put it that way. The online magazine was a lot easier. It's digital, so you can just sort of put things in there. But when you have a definitive space, like the newspaper, you have so many pages and you have to organize it and you have pages that run on other pages and you just have to make sure that it all links up and you got, your ducks in a row. So I would say the paper is harder.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. The magazine, we used to do that every month. We have 36 editions, you know, and those, they hold up. I knew that, you know, we were going to keep doing that until we got everything said. And we got 36 ongoing. All right, you know, just about everything. It might be ready to do another magazine, but I'd rather do the newspaper. You know, we do it less frequently, but more something that we can pass out during the election cycle. More headlines when we come back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. To break free from your lies, you're so self-satisfied, I don't need.
Okay, I'm going to show you up here the Hyperloop. All right, this is a thing. I mean, you know, you just, you know, Elon Musk mentions it and they make him do it. So let's just, we'll just go ahead and watch this to see if there's any sound to it. The Hyperloop race is on. Teams are competing to build the most viable system. One promises speeds of up to 750 miles an hour. Damn. Which can cut a six-hour drive to 30 minutes. Okay, I vote that. You know, San Francisco to L.A., boom, done. This is, it's a Hyperloop technology uses magnetic levitation and a vacuum tube track. So they're sucking the air out of the tube so that you have less wind resistance. But it won't come cheap. An estimated $6 billion for a track that connects L.A. to San Francisco. Well, you know, I don't expect it to be free. I just expect it to be not taxpayer funded. That's what I expect. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, can it be done? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, somebody wants to pay for it and do it and they can see an economic, you know, case for it. I'll knock your freaking self out, man. Be my guest. Amazon will now allow you to upload videos and get paid. So this is competition with YouTube. So Amazon, they got their, you know, Amazon cloud of you can do, I guess they can, you know, we got enough memory storage and kind of knock yourself out and bandwidth of. So I wonder how YouTube, it makes you wonder just how monopolistic and government controlled you're not allowed Google will get with Amazon, Facebook. All these guys are, you know, they're competing with each other for, wait, we kissed the ring and said Lord God King Bufu to the president enough, and we should, and you're not allowed, and we're going to, you know, FCC says, and something. I mean, these, they're just going to become, you know, the replacement for ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, HBO, CNN, Fox, New MSNBC. They're all the same. You know, I'm just, how is it going to, when it's, there isn't any kind of a lobby. The only lobby is, you know, in the front of the building where they go in. I mean, I you know, lobbyists, I advocate for what? Protections of monopoly. They're not out there going, you know, leave me alone. You know, as a matter of fact, our first Freedom Summit that we had, what was his name? Bob Levy. Bob Levy was with Cato, and he was a businessman, you know, before. And he just, when he retired, I think at God, about my age, 55 or so, he went back to law school, and he goes, "No, I just want to, you know, I want to spend the rest of my days going doing some butt whip." And he gave a presentation in 2001, just a few weeks after 9/11, at our first Freedom Summit, talking about two main things. One was the tobacco lawsuits and lobby and what was going on there, and Microsoft, and what happened with their antitrust lawsuits and what they were doing and why. See, the reason that you didn't see Microsoft doing anything with hardware, you know, Microsoft Surface computers and all that kind of stuff, you didn't see that for, God, a decade and a half, because they were under control. They were under penalty. That was part of the deal. They were not allowed to do hardware. There was some kind of deal struck with the law. You're not. But by the time they could do hardware, here comes HoloLens. Here comes the Surface tablet. Here comes. And, of course, they're all compliant with the man. You know, they got the memo. That just opens it up for a bunch of other people who won't be so compliant. Know what I mean? So we'll see what happens there. All right. The 9/11 intercepted and episode 308 of the Corbett Report. 9/11 trillions, follow the money. Those two right there give, you know, how much 9/11 do we need? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, this is, they definitely will, you know, more information the better, because the conditions that we are internationally and our foreign policy and domestic and all kinds of the police, it's going to be traced back to 9/11. It's like the Reichstag fire, the Hitler Germany was born out of, oh, they had a terror attack and burned down their capital, their parliament building or whatever. Come to find out, they were the ones that did it to usher in this type of chance. Chancellor thing. So I'm going, yeah, you know, they're going to be looking back at that. The U.S. warship challenges China's claims in South China Sea. So there's a bunch of ouch quit it going on there. Destroyer William P. Lawrence sails near Fiery Cross Reef, Philippines, which also claims, China building airstrips there and putting up their own man-made islands and saying, well, we claim out further and this is ours and we determine and you're not. And the U.S. warship's going, no, you're not allowed. And then the U.S. Carrier fleet wanted to go into Hong Kong Harbor and China said no. And they go, see, they said no, we can't bring our war machines into the harbor. I mean, it's like doink, 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 doink. I'm not sure what the real problem. We're going to have to do the South China Sea thing. I'll do some research and find some people that knows what's what on that. Because we talked to Scott Horton a little bit about, but I mean, not really the history and from China's perspective on what's really going on. So I'm just going, we'll do some research on that. Make a note, Donna. Go ahead and do, you know, South China Sea expert. Well, I'll do some research and I'll get some people for you to call and get, and she will get them and we'll be all expert on the South China Sea thing. Yeah, it's about time. We need to, yeah, one more freaking thing. We got it. It's literally halfway around the world, and we got a guy just, man. Ugh. All right. NASA, historic announcement. More than 1,200 new planets that could hold life found. The chance of alien life being found one day has been boosted after NASA scientists revealed they have found 1,284 new planets that could host alien life. And I guess what they mean is, I think they're looking for liquid water. Now, that's one of the main things. And then there's different markers they think that they can look for. They used a plane-based laser sensor of whatever. They didn't even have to send a spaceship. The first Mariners, I think, detected oxygen in Mars atmosphere. And now they're using plane sensors. They get up high enough in the altitude above the atmosphere, and they can do an analysis or spectra of something or whatever of Mars, and they go, yep, there's oxygen. Okay. Well, Matt Damon would be happy to know that and get more oxygen for his movie. So we'll see. The World Through Trump's Eyes was another popular article. It's, America, which is better than everybody else but America. So we'll see what happens with that. Remembering the lessons of World War II, Putin calls for non-aligned system of international security. While celebrating V-Day, marking the day the Allies accepted Nazi surrender in World War II, Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Russia is all for creating a non-aligned system of international security to counter global terror. We don't need NATO. We don't need a UN. When it's convenient, we'll work together. Voluntary, temporary alliance, no thanks. You know, so there's, It's, I mean, how jacked up is it when you have a former KGB agent, heavy-duty KGB guy, you know, head of Russia, comes out being the calm, cool, collected, better PR on the international scene than Black President Obama? I mean, how did you think that was going to happen? Well, at least he has a Nobel Peace Prize after droning everybody. Man, you can't make this stuff up. You know you got to be looking back from the future, look back, go, what? Seriously? I mean, it's just so jacked up. And who's going to get blamed? Us. For tolerating, you know, even paying any attention to this stuff, being part of it, you know, voting. I mean, yeah, but you voted, you know, so I don't know. We'll see. Look back 20 years from now, and I think we're going to be going, damn. Would you be fooled by an AI teaching assistant? This was interesting because Georgia Tech students began to suspect that their teacher's assistant was not quite human. And I was reading the article. One of the big reasons, it was too quick, too informed, too nice, too available. Yeah, that's definitely not a teacher's assistant. It wasn't the content or the information they were given. It's just that they were so available. They were going, no. Yeah, okay, here's the story. Oxygen detected in Martian atmosphere. Flying telescope makes first successful such observation since the 70s. Okay, I think that was when Mariner went. And yet more SpaceX stuff. I mean, they're just, you know, making woohoo out of, you know, we're going to save a lot of money going to space. Oh, yeah, here it goes. Air Force wants lasers on large planes by 2022. Sooner or laser. Yep. Here come the lasers. It's going to be, you know, boom, 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 boom. Drones lasing everybody. I'm just, yay, yay. Say goodbye to OPEC. Powerful Putin pal predicts. Internal differences are killing OPEC, and its ability to influence the markets has all but evaporated. Top Russian oil executive Igor Sechin told Reuters in some of his harshest remarks ever about the oil cartel. Dip, 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 dip. Oh, yeah, I think we said this yesterday. Oh, check this out. Investor Peter Thiel will be a California delegate for Trump.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. Silver is trading at $17.51 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,277 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $457. Antiwar.com reports, while the peace process itself is still slow going, the meetings in Kuwait have yielded one major sign of progress, a massive prisoner swap agreed to by the combatant factions, which will take place in the next 20 days. According to the pro-Saudi faction, the deal will see both sides releasing some 50% of their detainees over that period of time, which they estimated to be somewhere in the thousands of people overall. The Houthis, however, suggested it would only be in the high hundreds of detainees. The deal came in the wake of a two-day pause in the peace talks last week when the pro-Saudi forces withdrew, accusing the Houthis of a ceasefire violation because of combat they had with a third party, a neutral faction of former Yemeni military forces. When the talks began, there was high hope they might finally end a war which has been ongoing for over a year now. The pro-Saudi forces are demanding to return to power after former President Hadi's resignation in January of 2015, while the Houthis are seeking a path to new elections. For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports one of the six Baltimore police officers charged in the arrest and death of Freddie Gray has opted for a bench trial instead of a trial by jury. Officer Edward M. Nero will let Circuit Judge Barry Williams decide whether to convict him of charges in a trial to begin Thursday, not a jury. Nero, who appeared at a pretrial hearing on Tuesday, is charged with second-degree assault, reckless endangerment, and two counts of misconduct in office, all misdemeanors. He was one of three bicycle officers involved in the arrest of Freddie Gray on April 12, 2015. Gray died 1 week later. Baltimore State's attorney Marilyn Mosby filed charges against the six officers on May 1st last year, weeks after widespread protest in Baltimore. Officer William Porter was the first to stand trial, but the 12-member jury was unable to reach a consensus on any of the four charges against him, and a mistrial was declared. The other five officers, including Porter again, are scheduled to be tried during the next 6 months. Nero has not been charged in Gray's death. Williams said Tuesday he will allow discussion of Gray's injuries, but not step-by-step discussion by medical experts. If you're fed up with the government running every aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, what's wrong with you? Go right now to thelavaflow.com/listen. The Lava Flow podcast, channeling the flow of information to the libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, and agorist community. Subscribe today using any podcatcher at thelavaflow.com/listen, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every episode. Reuters reports New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said on Tuesday he will not defend a state law that excludes farm workers from the right to unionize, hours after the state was sued by a dairy worker who claimed he had been fired for meeting with labor organizers. The New York Civil Liberties Union filed the lawsuit on behalf of Crispin Hernandez, who said he lost his job in September at Mark Farms, a large dairy farm in upstate New York, where he worked for 3 years. The other plaintiffs were employee rights groups, Worker Justice Center of New York, and Workers' Center of Central New York. The lawsuit filed in state Supreme Court in Albany against Cuomo and the state of New York seeks to provide farm workers the right to organize without fear of retaliation, according to court documents. New York is the nation's fourth largest dairy producer behind California, Wisconsin, and Idaho. The lawsuit said a Mark Farms manager called the police in August after he saw Hernandez meeting with a Workers' Center of Central New York representative on farm property after work. Mark Farms did not immediately return a request for comment. About 75% of New York's farm workers are not U.S. citizens, according to the lawsuit. Many speak only Spanish, work long hours in dangerous conditions, and are paid low wages and live in rented farm-owned housing comparable to labor camps, according to the lawsuit. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid. Christina
Tobin, freeandequal.org. That's what we're going to be talking about and talking to Christina today. I wanted to, you know, we were just yakking it yesterday, and so I'm going, yeah, come on, let's go ahead and talk about this. There's a lot of things going on, and she's right at the center of this. And I remember we've interviewed her father. That was a big influence on her. She's been involved in politics since, like, forever. And the big thing has just been, you know, the ew of it all, you know, it's unfair, it's not constitutional, it hasn't been truthful, it hasn't been revealing, it hasn't been, you know, for the voters. It's like you may choose from fascist candidate A or communist candidate B, and we don't care because we control both, and you get to pretend like you had a choice. And she wants to make sure that there's a real difference in the presentations that, of candidates. And we'll talk about the criteria by which they would be able to participate in her debates and so on, that she has one scheduled to come in this fall. But I wanted to, you know, go back, you know, and start, you know, talking about races that, you know, in 10, I think she got really active, and certainly in the 12 campaign. In the 2012 presidential election cycle, she moderated a presidential debate with Larry King, you know, broadcast around the world. You know, it was on, you know, Russia Today TV, RT TV, Al Jazeera, C-SPAN. Now, of course, other networks say, yep, nope, don't want to touch it. But it got a lot of attention. And it had four U.S. presidential candidates, Constitution Party, Green, Justice, and Libertarian. And I'm just, you know, these, there's going to come a time they're going to be begging for Libertarians to participate and other third-party candidates that have the ability to get to be president, got enough electoral votes that they can have by state to become president, and they get to have a voice. And sooner or later, they're going to be begging the third parties to participate so somebody will watch the debates. And they're just losing the audience. Nobody, and we don't care. But the Trump thing has got people. That is definitely considered an anti-establishment, while he says he's going to appoint Giuliani head of Homeland Security. I don't know how anti-establishment that is. I just, oh, it's it. You can't do anything but, you know, just laugh, and it's entertainment. But, you know, Christina is serious about this, and she wants to make voting, you know, count. You know, so let's, Christina, go ahead and explain to the audience, well, you know, real quick. We'll get into a conversation here, but I want them to know who you are and your motivations behind this and what got you started and some of the legal battles you're in now and how it looks for the 2016 election cycle. Monologue me, Christina, go.
Good morning, Ernie. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and I love what you and Donna do at Freedom's Phoenix. And yes, I'm the chair, the founder of the Free and Equal Elections Foundation, founded it back in 2008. And, you know, since I was really 13, 17 years of age, I've been around initiatives, ballot drives, seeing candidates wrongfully get off the ballot in Illinois. You met my dad, Jim Tobin, president of Taxpayers United of America, interviewed him recently on your show. And I've seen firsthand the corruption, real deep corruption of the Chicago electoral system through my teens, you know, into my 20s, helping get dozens, if not 50, hundreds of candidates across the spectrum successfully on the ballot. And, you know, throughout that decade, I decided to raise the bar in 2008, really when Ralph Nader, I crossed the political spectrum and worked as his national ballot access coordinator in 08, overseeing, I'm an organizer, over 500,000 signatures throughout the United States, successfully getting them on the ballot in 45 states plus D.C. We even surpassed the Libertarian Party, and they did a great drive as well. And so the creation of Free and Equal came about in 08 when we hosted our first presidential debate, the first time any debate outside of the Commission on Presidential Debates had been nationally televised on C-SPAN 2. And so at that point, I learned about the corruption of the Commission on Presidential Debates, how it's run by the former chairs of the Democratic and Republican parties. Legal Women voters retracted their support in 1988, stating the CPDs perpetuated a fraud on the American voters. And I realized there needs to be a platform, an umbrella group that brings all of these amazing, you know, organizations to independent media like yourself to Hollywood. You know, individuals have been blacklisted from Emmy Award-winning actor Ed Asner to Chuck D of Public Enemy, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. We need to put them all on a stage and say, hey, you know, things are really messed up. Yes, we know that here in the United States of America. The whole world is watching. We need to awake the nation, and we need to have a platform, an umbrella group that helps build others, that offers the solutions. And that's what Free and Equal Elections is about. We're a 501c3 that's here to broaden electoral choices through education. I'd love to elaborate on that more throughout our our interview today.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I'm interested in. You have financial support. I mean, you can't do this without money. Somebody has got to be going, you know, vote or die, vote or die. I mean, you know, and they're saying, yeah, well, we got to go help Christina Tobin in freeandequal.org. And why do you say free? You know, instead of fair and equal, you know, it's free and equal. Why did you select that terminology?
Well, the name came from an election law attorney I worked with, Andrew Spiegel, out in Illinois for a decade.
Whoa, we're starting to lose your signal. Go back to wherever you were.
Okay.
We lost your signal. We're going to have Donna come in and recall her. We're losing her signal. When we come back, we're going. I'm sorry?
I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me.
Okay, there. That's better. Okay, I apologize. Okay. Free and Equal is from an attorney at what?
Yeah, the attorney, the name came from Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution, the Illinois Constitution. All elections shall be free and equal. And when I saw that in the Illinois Constitution, that was what inspired me with the name, Free and Equal.
Okay, well, that's, better than not free and not equal, I mean, I guess.
Well, that's what the system wants.
Well, this is when we get into. We come back from the next break. We may try and call you back at a better link because it's getting choppy. What we'll go ahead and do is kind of focus on what the goal was. You know, you're hoping to what and what kind of change are you going to have? And then, of course, you're starting from the beginning that voting is a realistic and viable expression of the masses to be able to, self-govern a little bit through somebody kind of. I mean, that there has to be a faith in the voting process in order to do as much work as hard as you are. And I'm really interested in the support that you have from various celebrities, people with some money. They're making sure that you're doing. I'm just wondering, at some point, it starts to get, we need to keep Christina funded. And all of a sudden, it's a federal grant from a national congressional, whatever the heck. And you go, yep, and you know it's bad. So where do you think most of your financial support comes from?
Most come from small donors. The big funder for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, has supported us. In 2012, over $60,000 was donated online through people who heard about our debate with Larry King, and they keep giving to us here and there. To sponsors like Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap, Barley Coffee, conscious businesses in the world making big changes. We have money offered to us from big corporations that make people sick, different products. Yes, we've declined it. So compromise is not an option. Compromising is what's gotten us in the problems that we are in our country these days.
That's a good point, who you don't take money from. We'll be right back, Christina.
Right.
We'll see if we can get a better signal. We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
With Skype, so we're going to go ahead and do that with Christina. We have options. We got skills. All right. So what we're going to go ahead and do is before we get into a lot of the details, Christina, in such a short period of time, has made a very big impact on the political process here just by offering another demonstrating that there you can't stop the signal. There are alternative means, and it's going to get to the point to where, and Larry King participating didn't hurt either, but a lot of people are going, yeah, we should be part of that and new and fresh, but you wonder, people that are helping, do they get audited? Are you having trouble? You will never get another government contract, which, some of these guys don't care. So I'm just wondering, the people that are supporting this effort, and we'll start off with Larry King. Why did he participate in this? Christina, help me out.
Well, Larry has been a huge advocate. He's a big on debates, and it never hurts to ask. And what we did was asked him and Aura TV, and they got back to us and they saw I feel the value of teaming up with us and holding a truly open debate that discusses the issues that the people want to hear about. You know, so I mean, it was definitely, we had more coverage internationally than within the mainstream, I guess you could say, lamestream media in the U.S., which I do feel their days are numbered, especially if they don't get it together. And so, which I don't anticipate they will, because we know who owns most of the mainstream media, Rupert Murdoch, you know, in the United States of America. So, you know, it was really cool that Larry did that. He really, you know, is a huge advocate for helping out others. And that's what Larry's about. And that's pretty much the extent of it. And I've had lunch with him a couple times since then out in Beverly Hills. Great guy.
Okay, so he leads the way on this. You have a the debate, the presentation for everybody to see what's up. And then they just flooded from out of the woodwork, came in, we want to help her or not.
It did. You know, we almost got John Stewart as our moderator for the second debate in 2012. But you might recall that huge storm that hit out in D.C. and shut down the studio of RT, who was co-hosting it to offset cost and partnered up with us. So, yeah, he just did it. And we were both very pleased by the outcome. You know, the place was packed, as you mentioned before, C-SPAN, Al Jazeera, even PBS did a story on it. Jimmy Kimmel, you know, made fun of it because that's what Jimmy does. And, you know, any media is good media and that's cool. But so, yeah, we definitely had a lot of interest from various moderators and we're so glad we had Larry King. He definitely helped pave the way amongst many, many others who have supported our movement as well and endorsed it, like Ralph Nader and Dr. Ron Paul and Ben and Jerry and Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream and so, so many more. Chuck D, a Public Enemy.
Well, how about money now? I mean, is there been a would you accept a sponsorship brought to you by Microsucks? I mean, you know what? You know, what's the limits or the conditions by which somebody could sponsor or participate or support?
Well, I would say we would accept a sponsorship by, you know, Elon Musk of Tesla. You know, companies that are doing great things in the world are the kind that are attracted to our platform. Do I think the ones that you mentioned or Bill Gates are the ones who are feeding into the system and the problems would support our platform? Absolutely not. But companies, again, that are conscious, like I mentioned before, Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap, Marley Coffee, Nature Pass Organic, World Centric, these are the kind of sponsors we've had in the past. If they can't give monetary, they exchange, they donate product. Even Ben & Jerry's ice cream supported us in the past, and I anticipate we'll continue to do so. So we're very conscious of the sort of companies we surround ourselves with because, again, compromising is not an option. If Coca-Cola said, hey, here's $1 million, we want to distribute our product on your platform, sorry, no, we're not going to allow that product to be, you know, cause diabetes. I mean, you know, to the people, no. So, again, compromising is not an option. I'm saying it a third time. And that is why we have the problems we have in our country today, because most, if not all, politicians in office have compromised our well-being, and that's not okay. That's the root of the problem. We have the wrong people in office.
You know, the opportunity to directly communicate and not bypass, have to go through some newsroom, editorial board of the publisher, or clearinghouse of you get to have an opinion. The by doing it directly, crowdsource funding of freaking space travel. You know, I'm doing a CubeSat. I got a new device. If I'm going here and living and being left aloneism of whatever the heck it is, that people can express their preference with just a couple of bucks here, a couple of bucks there. You multiply that times a gazillion, all of a sudden you got a multiple gazillion dollars. And I'm going, do you feel it's a hard or an easy sell for supporting debates of third-party candidates and the wider range of choices to the people? Is that people just like, nah, don't care? Or are they, how hard is it going? Is this an uphill battle, downhill? I mean, what's going on?
Well, as far as funding, you hit it. You know, we've done three successful Indiegogo campaigns. Were they easy? No, we had to work hard. We raised $7,000, $15,000, and $25,000, you know, back in 2014. It's been challenging since we had UCLA. I know we'll go into that later. cause disruption, really attempted to sabotage our United We Stand Fest. But as far as funding, I do anticipate that we're going to be, or we are going to be, releasing all our financial information, our CPA firms compiling all that. I want the people to see who's donating to this organization, because I've built it for the people. It really is a duty. It's been a calling for me to create the Free and Equal Elections Foundation truly for the people. And as far as, you know, back to uphill battle, sure, you know, it's been very challenging since 2014 when, you know, the educational bureaucracy establishment, you know, faulted a place to, that is, a false seed, making me look as if I was incompetent and didn't fulfill my obligations and a contract with them in hosting United We Stand Fest at UCLA. And that simply wasn't the case. And so I've seen the corruption, not only within the electoral system, but the educational bureaucracy. And I've seen it, you know, within Hollywood through Ed Asner and many more, and through the music industry, like Chuck D, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Check them out on BBC. They have been blacklisted, public enemy, you know, fight the power, blacklisted from the music industry in the U.S. They're huge internationally, and that's not okay. They will be heard one day on an alternative platform, and that's what Free and Equal Elections is about, letting individuals such as them be heard. You know, it has been an uphill battle, Ernie, but I'm stronger because of it, and there's nowhere else to go. I don't see any other movement or platform like Free and Equal Elections.
Well, not if you're voting, but yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll get into some of the legal battles and so on. We just want to lay the groundwork. We're going to take the time today and spend with Christina. We'll get it all out. And, of course, you know our opinion. She knows my opinion. We got an opinion. But I use politics a little bit differently. We'll talk about it.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And we're right back with Christina Tobin. I wanted to go ahead and finish up talking about the support that she's getting and where it's going to come from in the future. This is something that the people are going to either be supporting election process or not. And I'm wondering if that in and of itself is an uphill battle. When you go to speak to young people or universities and such, is that ever an argument that you get, Christina, that people are just going, ah, the heck with the whole thing? Or are they more encouraging? Or are they protesting with signs? Or, you know, what kind of headwinds are you getting? Christina?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh,
I could speak specifically. Can you hear me, Ernie?
Yeah, you had your mute great on or something.
My apologies. I can speak specifically for, you know, United We Stand Fest, a student group we're working with out in Colorado. Last year, they got national attention on Meet the Press, a group called Student Voices Count, all over the media because they wanted to have more students attend the GOP presidential debate that was hosted by University of Colorado Boulder. In fact, the GOP paid nothing for the venue, but they would only allow 50 students to attend in a venue that holds 10,000. And so the students were very upset about this.
Wait, back up. Mm-hmm. You had a venue that held 10,000 and somebody allowed only how many students?
50.
Why was there a what?
It's a controlled crowd. I think they had a total of about 1,000 people in that venue of 10,000, give or take, and only 50 hand-selected, really, students were allowed to attend. And the students, particularly Student Voices Count and many others, but Student Voices Count led the way, were upset that a GOP debate was taking place on their campus at University of Colorado Boulder, and they weren't able to attend. So this is the kind of student organization we're partnering up with, co-hosting our United We Stand Fest at University of Colorado Boulder. But when I met them, boy, did it give me a whole new sense of hope that these 18 to 28-year-olds are game changers. I do foresee they're going to come out in full force. I don't know if I want to say force, but full altogether, you know, an energy of really making this huge shift. There is definitely an awakening, an Awake the Nation movement, an independent uprising that's about to break through. And Free and Equal Elections is excited to work with student groups such as theirs and many others. So I think that there's going to be a lot of inspirational students, 18 to 28-year-olds, that are going to rise very quickly.
Is the argument, I don't know if they are perceived as respectful, but I mean, if there was a group of students that are there with signs, you know, save your life, stop voting, stop wars, home educate and educate yourself to not vote and voting sucks and blah, 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 blah. I mean, would that be a voice that would be allowed or tolerated, or is it even there?
Well, I mean, you know, what happened at UCLA didn't seem to be tolerated to have a truly educational event. United We Stand Fest with Larry King as a speaker, Dennis Kucinich, Public Enemy, founding members of Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, a really broad roster of people speaking. So I suspect the students, and we can see a lot of protests that are rising across the U.S., the students not being able to voice their opinion, for example. I mean, really, universities, they are stifling free speech, and they are sabotaging student political discourse, and that is not okay. Look what happened at Student Voices Count last year. They would not allow more students in the debates. Eventually, they allowed another 50 or 100. Well, that's not enough.
Yeah.
So it is a problem. The educational system is has a lot of room for improvement. Fortunately, so far, University of Colorado Boulder is just being great to us. The chancellor, they want tickets for the faculty, and they're really inviting our debate because it's the right thing to do. They really are following through so far, and the student groups are on top of it.
You know, this safe space, I don't want to be offended by, you know, oh my God, any and everybody can come up except Trump, you know, or something like that. And I'm going, does that have an impact on what you're trying to accomplish, you know, this political correctness thing, or are you part of the political correctness? I don't know.
That's a little bit of a tricky question. Are we part of the political correct? We're really a platform of our own. I don't think the current system works. I really think that it's a great thing that both Trump and Sanders have run in different ways. I know that they're, get along behind the scenes. I'm connected, you know, through the campaigns and people around them, very deep in both of them. And so I think that they've a lot of energy of why they're breaking through the corruption, the rigged electoral system, the corruption, the two-party system is great. They are building primarily Sanders, a very positive energy of this huge movement, I feel, that's following him. And even off of Ron Paul back in the day, Ralph Nader, Ross Perot, Anderson have all paved the way for an independent uprising. So as far as political correctness, I think that currently the system is not running things correctly. And I hope Free and Equal Elections can bring about the educational components through our symposiums where we bring experts together. We're not just doing festival and debates. We're now doing our third annual electoral reform symposiums. We need to start discussing the problems of our current electoral system in greater detail. Why the Electoral College is the way it is. Why is gerrymandering the way it is? Why don't we have alternative voting methods like approval voting, instant runoff voting? Why do over 90, almost 100 countries, maybe more, have proportional representation? And most Americans don't even know what that is yet in the United States of America. Black box voting. Should we have online voting? Should we have paper ballots? We're going to bring about those experts to have those discussions, because through the discussions will come about the solutions. And that's key.
Yeah.
And that's where political correctness will rise.
Well, see, the reason I for lack of a better, I don't know, term, political correctness is, determine what is politically correct. You know, everybody gets, I get to have my say, or I get to have my opportunity to not hear your say, or, I mean, it's just when they start this safe space, I don't want to be offended at a university thing. I'm wondering if you were to have a free and equal debate that you had Bernie Sanders, Trump, and Green and Libertarian participate, and then somebody's out there trying to shut it down because they don't want to hear Trump. You see what I mean? I mean, it's just how open are they really? Because people in support of, like, Bernie definitely do not want Trump to have a say. And I'm just going, I see this. I mean, it's a Black Lives Matter protest. We saw it happen here in Arizona out Fountain Hill. They just shut down the highway going to the venue. But then we find out that it's thousands of dollars they paid these individuals to do this. And they come out and on our show, we talk about it. And I got paid more because I'm a, you know, white man. You know, I got $2,500 where the poor immigrant guy only got $500 to stand there and hold a sign. So I'm just going, this is, it's like the whole system is being used to perpetuate something. You would think it would be in promotion of what you're doing, that it would be more open and the criteria by which they get to see a candidate debate each other is what with you guys? I mean, how would you do? Okay, I want to be on the debate. Put me on. What do I got to do?
Well, the system is not at this point in time here to support free and equal elections. The system uses tools like the two-party system, mainstream media, Hollywood, the rigged system to divide us and to maintain control. The system is controlled, seems to be by the elite, the powers to be, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds who team up with the Rupert Murdochs, you know, and the Warren Buffetts and Charles Munger, which is man in California. It's a few powerful people that are running the system, and their days are numbered.
Yeah, they're being, I don't know. How are they numbered? By participating in a certain way? It's still their system. In the third hour, we'll talk about that more. But definitely, when we come back, we're going to see some of the hurdles they've overcome, ones that are coming, and this October.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Edition, and I like to include a lot of things that are hopeful, and I'm just and really the entire newspaper edition that we have is apolitical. I mean, it's just like, you know, that this is not where it's going to be. It's not where you're going to find the answers, but to emphasize that, we need to, you know, maximize the opportunity and, you know, support Christina Tobin, you know, in her effort to try and get the best out of and show and demonstrate, is it an opportunity? Can we save America and individuals and freedom and justice and whatever, you know, using a voting system and debates and the process? I've been doing this for 28 years, and I tell you, man, the bloom fell off that rose a long time ago for me. But I'm glad that we can go through the process just to learn. You know, we have to exhaust every opportunity, I think, for the vast majority of the people to get what's coming. I mean, do you think electoral politics, if it was to be done in exactly the way that you had envisioned, Christina, that it would work? I mean, is democracy the way to go? Is there some, you know, voice of the people of how the majority is going to rule somebody? Does that appeal to you in some way that, you know, all things would be fixed if they did it right?
Emphasize that, yes, I do feel the system will be fixed. And just acknowledging that since the creation of the ballot access barriers in the 1890s, there's been this false left-right paradigm of the two parties, which is a business. The Democrats and Republicans, they work together behind the scenes. This is no surprise. People are seeing this more than ever now. And when we realize that when we come together across the spectrum from the Ralph Nader supporters to the Ron Paul and meet in the middle and recognize on the bigger issues, there's not much of a difference on the NSA to the transpartisan partnership, the TPP to war. And the list goes on and on, money and politics. And so, yes, I do feel that we are going to be able to fix the system. I think the big game changer, Ernie, is the social media, the internet. We're creating our own media. I mean, look at the Bernie Sanders campaign. He's being completely blacklisted from mainstream media, so-called lamestream, soon to non-exist media, because they're putting themselves out of business, I feel, day by day, more and more. But wow, he is breaking through social media, and that's where Free and Equal Elections, our social media activity is like no other page on our Facebook page alone. We have almost 250,000 likes. It's 100% organic. We have not bought any of that activity whatsoever, and the activity on that page is equivalent to pages that have millions of likes, and we're at just 240,000 for sure. So, I mean, I feel that as our social media team is now starting to rise, the pros are attracting to the energy of our movement from social media to PR to so on. We are about to break through, I feel, and become a household name, but not for Free and Equal Elections' sake, but to help build others, to be that platform to pull in all these great ideas and also to offer the solutions, which is to replace every two-party system candidate in office, I feel, most if not all, Democrats and Republicans alike, with accountable, independent candidates, Ernie, targeting the congressional and really the local races. Those are far more important than just this presidential race that mainstream media leads us to believe. And these are the sort of things that we're going to educate on our platform. And we're going to have a lot of fun doing it, too. So I think that you're about to go back into bloom here, Ernie. I know it's been 28 years, but at the heart of it, I know you're doing the show, I feel, you and Donna, every day because you want that hope and that change to come back. And I can feel it for the first time with you on this show today. And
well,
that's pretty exciting.
What I want is what it's always been about was our children and grandchildren. And it was it was obvious to me that it wasn't going to happen while my children were young. They weren't going to be able to benefit from the rebuilding of a philosophy of leave me alone and we'll take care of it. They're, you know, intelligent, smart, unvaccinated kids that were going to, you know, rule the world. They've been doing really well. So I'm going, it was my grandchildren. I'm going, nah, I can see, I'm hoping that, you know, can we hurry up and get to a police state so we can leave? I mean, I would say that, but I know how bad that really is. Maybe you don't want to do that. And the idea is the police state is manifested and exposes itself in so many ways. And one of those is always like you see around the world. It's politics. It's in the campaigns, you know, from assassinations to arrest and corruption things and, you know, and who's even able to have a voice. And we see like our neighbor to the south, Mexico, whenever there's a Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders, boom, dead. I can't even keep track of how many assassinated politicians are going to wrest control away from the corruption of whatever the heck. What would happen here? And I'm going, yep. Trump, if he really, 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 really was a threat to the system, yeah, there's a bullet with his name on it. So I don't know. And then when he starts, you know, really Rudy Giuliani in charge of Homeland Security, I mean, oh, you kidding me? So this is Chris Christie doing his transition team. You haven't. I mean, I'm going, man, I just don't see it falling too far from where we are now and what we've been complaining about. So to me, I just like, the whole thing is, and then you look at the other third parties, even the Libertarian candidates, the one that appeals to me the most is Daryl Perry saying, I just want to eliminate one level of government, the federal level of government. I'm going, yay, I vote for him if I had to vote.
Regarding the bullet thing, I mean, look at Ron Paul. If something had not positive happened to him, it would have resulted in an even bigger movement uprising happening. He built a movement around him so quickly. I mean, with his overnight Ron Paul money bomb raising millions and the millions online, back to social media and online, I think is really helping us to see what's real and what isn't real. And as we shine a light on all these different politicians in office, all these different media outlets, all these different front groups, we're starting to see the cockroaches scatter. They can't hide anymore. We're seeing the truth. We're following the money. There's tools that help us to see that. And now we need that one movement, that umbrella group, to bring all those tools together to make it easy at the axis of our fingertips. When we go on our phone, those millennials and even the younger 5-10 year olds, this phone, it's the power. This is our power, the social media, the phone, the access to the internet, the access to the truth. And so we really, I really do see that in 2018, I see a lot, if not a majority, of congressional candidates being replaced. Even if Trump won the presidency, this election, it's going to be a very challenging for him to have any impact with Congress because they are so slated to the two-party system.
There's going
to
be gridlock!
That will buy us time. That will buy us time to replace Congress with independent, accountable candidates that I don't think necessarily would support Trump, but may support an accountable or multiple accountable independent candidates that I think will run for president in 2020. So this is one election cycle, Ernie, and I'll tell you, the fact that the two-party system is being exposed, the fact that Sanders is breaking their social media, I mean, Trump's even playing his role, I think we're paving the way for a beautiful, inspirational, meditational energy, transparency, independent uprising movement in 2020, 18 through 20. And that's where Free and Equal Elections comes in. We're going to be holding a university tour across the United States of America for United We Stand Best and bringing about those solutions. But I'm excited to talk about that too. But I mean, it just, one cycle, Ernie, you've done this 28 years. We are moving in the right direction.
You know, and that's one thing that why I like having this conversation with you, and you've always been a good sport about it. And it's because I look at the massive support of Dr. Paul was not the same as like for Bernie or Trump, or it was, you know, you have a plan for me, I vote for the plan.
True.
Where his was like, I vote, you know, I'm here to advocate, you get to have your own freaking plan. You know, it was a freedom, what a concept. Freedom's the answer, what's the question? I mean, you saw an enormous support for a philosophy, and he's still continuing to do that and continues to have support, and people continue to want to attract those people and those support. It was on Russia Today. They're just going, yeah, but don't you think the youth that went over to Bernie, that he goes, no, not really. I mean, you know, what's the difference between? So it's just they're trying to use the successes of the Levolution as just a sign of something that they want to advocate or even you want to advocate. Well, I'm hoping that as time goes on, they understand the support for what he was saying was an abandonment of somebody else saying they represent your opinion. Do not represent my opinion. More. We have an 8-minute top of the hour break here. When we come back, we'll start focusing on the process going into this cycle, 18 and 20. So this would be like a prediction of, you know, on record, we say what's going to happen and how. And we could reference this show and go back, all right, who is right?
Well, I'd also like to talk about Free and Equal and us hosting the panels at Freedom Fest. I don't know if
you know that. Yeah. No, we'll get into everything.
Politicon I definitely am happy to throw out some foresight there.
Okay, Freedom Fest, and what's going on there?
Mm-hmm. And then Politicon as well.
What is that? I don't know that.
Politicon's big, man. They had Edward Snowden on live feed last year, Trevor Noah of The Daily Show. It's like politics for geeks, right? So they do a lot of entertainment shows and all that out in L.A., the Pasadena Convention Center. So even the former president of New Mexico, Vicente Fox, is going to be speaking there. Saying we're not paying for that effing wall is what he's saying at Politicon. So it's entertainment for the political geeks for sure.
Yeah, this wall thing is going to be the biggest scar on Trump's thing.
All about the drug war. That's what it is. We need to legalize it.
Yeah, you know, here in Arizona, they're, again, another initiative. A lot of people don't know, here in Arizona, it was in the 96, 98, election, they had an initiative, and they legalized marijuana here a great deal, 76%. And the legislature just went, nah, we don't like it, and they stricken. They took the law away. Okay. So when they did that, we had, Sperling that owns University of Phoenix. He was behind the initiative because, I don't know, he wants to smoke dope legally, I guess. And what happened was he did an initiative that made it to where anything that passes by a people vote that the legislature has to have 70-75% or something to overturn it. And so they freaked out. And there's so much stuff. I mean, then, of course, you get anything passed by initiative, a tax on cigarettes, alcohol, and access, public health care, you know, anything that they can get through or they say they got through because the computer said, then it never gets changed now. And that's got its own problems. So it's just so much. There is no stopping Leviathan of billions of dollars that are at stake of controlling the purse here in just Arizona. I mean, I see Arizona as just an example. You just multiply it. It's United States or it's a UN or it's down to the small little hamlet of 5,000 people. It's the same. And I'm going, when are we going to learn that it's down? The promise was the Declaration of Independence was the individual thing. You know, it's down to the rights of the individual. And everybody keeps thinking of a collective answer. And I don't see that happening. Economics are just going to backhand you upside the head and say, you know what? It's not working financially and you be hungry, bow, bow, bow. So when that happens, all the stuff is off the table. That's what's going on in Greece. It's going to be Italy pretty soon. Then when it hits Spain, it's all over. You know, the Brexit thing, they're leaving the European Union. You know, Greece is going to default again. We got Puerto Rico doing their thing. And it's just all over the world. It is an abandonment economically. I mean, it's not viable to do what they're doing. And the only reason they've been able to get away with it has been just we print money and the dollar being the reserve currency. This is going to change. And this is what Dr. Paul was, you know, emphasizing. He's like, look, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. This is all coming down. You know, what are we going to build? What foundation do we have left to build on? Well, you know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? I don't see that. And sure as hell not in politics. Now, the political process is a good opportunity for us to advocate for certain things. And when the 3 months, I think people are paying attention, we'll have some fun. Certainly going to have some fun. Here, I told you about the U.S. Senate race here. We're going to be entertainment there. But it's always Arizona. I mean, little bitty state of, you know, population, hell, is half of Manhattan. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, why Arizona?
Well, I have to jump in and counter that. You say you don't see it, but I think that's going to change because
the majority is going to rule me? That the majority finally gets to have their say and they're going to tell me what they want?
When Egypt had their whole, you know, in the square uprising, the people came together. The problem is they didn't have a movement, a platform, a direction, and the Muslim Brotherhood came in and co-opted it. So we are going to have a movement and a platform that's going to pull in that energy throughout the United States of America
to do what?
Throughout the world. To bring about accountability within our elections. It will happen. And when that happens, and when all these corrupt politicians are replaced with people like us, your listeners on the radio station, when you start putting that energy out there that, yes, you need to run for office. Yes, you need to get involved in local elections. It's our duty to get involved. I'm getting involved in my local elections, Ernie, very much so. And so, you know, in fact, Ed Asner is going to come here to Cambria and talk about, you know, the importance of Cambrians and people getting involved in local elections. You may recall he protested back in 81 with Jackson Brown, Diablo Canyon, environmental issues. So, you know, so that's the key. And when we start manifesting and putting that energy out to our supporters, that's when the platform, the movement's going to rise, and the solutions will organically, just like our Facebook page, will organically rise to the surface. I do see these candidates being easily replaced once it starts catching fire, like we were able to easily make gay marriage legalized once it caught fire, to now marijuana on its way, concealed carry. What those things that we thought could never become legal did. Just like the system wants us to think we can't replace these people in office, well, we will. There's no other way.
Yeah, I'm okay. Let's restart the next hour here on the video.
I know people can listen to this part, so that's cool too. But I mean, it's.
Well, hold on a second. She's changing the, starting a new hour on the video so we don't miss anything. She feels like it. All right, here we go.
Sweet.
All right. When we come back, we'll get into, this. It's more, we'll go ahead and finish what you're doing at Freedom Fest and Politicon and all this other stuff. But I'm really wanting to make sure that we get to the philosophical discussion, because if you got everything that you wanted, I'm not sure it's going to turn out the way that you think. And it hasn't ever. I mean, that's what got me involved in politics to begin with. It was election law. It was this very stuff. But it got to the point to where any kind of proportional representation or ranked choice voting, or they have the ability to do it. We could use blockchain technology to make sure that it was, it was open and transparent and accurate and all that. But they don't want, that's not, and they'll go as long as they possibly can to make sure that never happens. Who's they? And then what, us trying to beat it, why, when we can just, that's what we'll talk about. All right, we're back in a few seconds. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, I'm unafeared, but I am relatively concerned. Christina Tobin is staying over the third hour with us, freeandequal.org. Freeandequal.org. If Christina got everything that she wanted, would it be, good for America and the planet? And what, I mean, this is, are we evolving past this? We got to do it right. We got to fix it. It's got to be, the way it was supposed to be and intended, and technology will help us, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you get, I keep using this because I don't even remember where I heard it or I made it up or something that really was appropriate, is if you get high enough on the ladder that you can see, yes, we're at the top of the wall. We're up on the ladder. Look how far we've come, and it's on the wrong wall. What's the point? We got up to the top. Yeah, well, you were on the wrong wall. We're over here. Be on that wall. We got our own wall, or we're not even on a wall. Walls, there's walls. It's just a whole different free your mind thing. We'll go ahead and let's go ahead and talk about some of the opportunities Christina has to advocate for what she's doing. She's gonna be at Freedom Fest next month, and Freedom Fest is kind of leaning a little bit freedom oriented. Well, Rand Paul speak. I mean, if that means anything. And, we got a lot of libertarian anarchist investors like Doug Casey that really makes it go. And we've had Mark Skousen on the program before talking about this and such. And I've gone a couple of times. But the Freedom Fest is it's in Vegas and it's a big thousands of people that, are influential and got some money. And, and freeandequal.org, Christina's going to be up there saying, hey, this is what we're doing. And a lot of you guys got money. Give me some money. So I would like to hear about that. Christina, tell us all about Freedom Fest.
I will definitely do that. And, you know, you said before what I want, you know, what Free and Equal Elections is about. It's about what the people want. We're here to bring about the discussions, solutions, and let the people decide what they want to better our electoral system in the United States of America. But regarding Freedom Fest, this July 15th, you know, you mentioned a lot of the, yes, it leans right leaning. I mean, many years ago, you may recall the speakers were primarily male. But since then, Valerie Skousen's been running Freedom Fest, which is Mark and Joanne Skousen's daughter, and she's been rocking it. I've been helping them as much as I can behind the scenes. And they asked Free and Equal Elections to host a panel addressing the rigged electoral system. So that's exactly what we're doing at Freedom Fest on July 15th. We're going to be at prime time in the morning, I think around 8 or 9 a.m. That Friday morning, just before Rand Paul speaks. And on that panel, I'm actually going to be moderating with some seem to think a bit left-leaning on the progressive side. Yes, Mr. Ed Asner, Emmy Award-winning actor of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. He served as a two-term president of the Screen Actors Guild. And Mr. Asner, myself, and even Mark and Joanne Skousen of Freedom Fest all had dinner in L.A. a couple weeks ago. And we learned about his passion, of course, on that panel, we're going to be addressing voting rights, gerrymandering, voter fraud, the closed presidential debates, ballot access. I mean, the list goes on and on. Money in politics, the rigged electoral system. And the panelists will have will vary from one of my heroes, Richard Winger, a ballot access news election law expert, to our legal counsel, who's taking on the case against UCLA and suing them, Alicia Dern, to Frank Atwood, an expert discussing electoral different alternative voting methods, such as approval voting. John Fund of the Wall Street Journal, he used to work with. He's the author of Stealing Elections, How Voter Fraud Threatens Our Democracy. So I'm excited to do that at Freedom Fest July 15th. And I'm really stoked that the Skousens are really wanting to reach across the political spectrum. And Asner, he's a freedom seeker. He actually showed up on his own at our United We Stand Fest last September, Free and Equals in L.A., and that we hosted. And I just became friends with him, you know, down-to-earth guy, and just like Larry King was in 2012. So I'm excited to sit next to him, and I think it's going to raise a lot of eyebrows. But, you know, Mr. Asner realizes we've got to come together across the political spectrum and have those discussions, which will bring about the solutions. So I hope you can all be a part of that at Freedom Fest, and definitely looking forward to seeing you out there.
Well, this is... I'll wait for the video. You know, it's going to be videotaped, I would imagine, you know, and this will be, you know, part of the public discussion. I've been through this stuff, Christina.
You know, that's not the only event we're doing. We're also hosting a panel at Politicon, which is like the guy running that's the former 8-year producer of American Idol. I mean, it's a pretty hip event. And that's going to be June 25th through 26th at the L.A. Pasadena Convention Center. So last year, they had Edward Snowden come up on live feed. They have Trevor Noah of The Daily Show, Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks, even Ann Coulter, Newt Gingrich. I mean, really kind of like politics for the geeks. It was a pretty cool, hip event. So we're going to be hosting a similar panel there, and hopefully we'll get a moderator like maybe Dennis Kucinich or Ben Cohen of Ben & Jerry. So, you know, these are events that I'm helping behind the scenes, and hope in the future, as United We Stand Fest grows, we can push a lot of our talent onto alternative platforms beyond Freedom Fest, like Politicon and many others as well.
So, you know, I want to make this comment, and these sound, you know, this is an impressive lineup, I'm sure, to a lot of people, and impressive subject, I'm sure, to a lot of people. And I remember different events that I've been invited over the years to speak at and such. And I make it clear that, look, I mean, I'm not there to rubber stamp whatever it is that you're doing. I mean, if who's the person that's going to be, you know, it's like I could see like 3/4 of the way through the presentation, you know, someone like me just walking across the stage, you know, and it's my turn to speak. I get up to the microphone. I go, you're still voting? And then just walk off the stage and I'm done. You know, and just that voice is never heard. It's never. I remember a good friend of mine, James Babb out of Philadelphia, was last presidential election cycle in 12, I think it was. He represented the Vote for Nobody campaign. They had, you know, very similar to what you were doing. It was a forum of all the parties up there and in Philadelphia. And he said, nobody's going to lower taxes. Nobody's going to stop the wars. Nobody's going to, you know, stop infringing on my personal liberty. So I'm voting for nobody. And it was a great presentation. In fact, he's has an article in this edition of the newspaper that kind of mirrors that. And I'm just, that is not an option. That is not, you know, like you'll have all the great names will be up there talking about how we're going to do it right. We're going to vote right. People are going to have this majority tell everybody else how to do, and we're going to do it right. And there's nobody out there advocating not doing it. It's like with healthcare. We're going to, you know, have this kind of doctor or this thing. Or there's nobody out there saying, can I just do it myself? Can I, you know, pay a robot or a 16-year-old to do brain surgery on me? Do I have that freedom? No, you're not allowed. Why? Well, that's not the discussion. That's never part of the discussion. It's just people being left alone and free and doing what they want. And I'm so with that, without that being part of it, you know, it just loses all interest with me. Because if you can't produce a better result, if you can't give a better future, if you can't demonstrate a freer society by using the electoral process versus not, you know, you're not even willing to have that discussion, it's a hollow discussion to me. You know?
Ernie, have no fear in fixing the system. Shut your fear of it.
We're gonna go ahead and talk about it on air when we come back. Christina's gonna get to have her say. You know, Ernie said something, they gotta get her going. She wants to get some, and she will when we come back in just a little bit.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
I'm wanting to make sure that, you know, we don't, you know, climb the mountain and get at the top and go, yay, we made it to the top of it, doesn't matter, you know, and I'm wanting to make sure that we support the education process. At least one of the biggest reasons I support what Christina is doing is because this was the promise. You know, let's go ahead. You know, I'm just afraid that we get exactly what she wants, and it's not going to make any difference. We're going to be ruled by, you know, the mob or the elite or somebody else, and the promise was I get to have my own plan, and there's nobody. You know, we voted, and we have indoctrinated the youth in the mandatory youth indoctrination camps, a.k.a. the government school system, in that sustainable development means that you're not allowed to do whatever, and the majority just voted accurately. And I'm going, yay. You know, so it's going to come down to economics. It's going to be very simple. Are you able to produce and accumulate wealth that you're able to pass on to next generations, and you get more and more families at a middle class that move up and kind of, they don't care what the government says. Hell no. We got to have to where you care and you got to participate and vote. I pledge allegiance to America at 6 years old. So I'm just, this is, I'm really, really, you know, want to go through this and help Christina so that we can get through this phase. I mean, I see it as a phase in the progression of humanity. In the future, I don't see as a viable solution being by majority vote that you can tell an individual what to do. Well, then, oh, well, then move somewhere, or you can't be here. You go, why? I just, you know, it's a revolution between the ears. What do you want to do, get inside my head? So I'm okay. So in an ideal situation, Christine, you got to help me out. You know, this election cycle, or you think you're going to, what kind of result are you going to have in influencing this process? You know, how much commitment do you have from the various parties or campaigns to participate in your freeandequal.org debates?
You know, regarding the party concept, I personally believe that parties will fade away as well over time. I see Dr. Jill Stein, Governor Gary Johnson, you know, Green Party, Libertarian candidates as individuals. I personally see them as independents. They're disconnected from the political parties. And as parties become larger, they inevitably become infiltrated. I've seen this firsthand within the National Libertarian Party, Green Party, throughout my life. And, you know, regarding people in office voting, controlling, and all that. I understand where you're coming from. Does government work necessarily? I'm not really sure. But what I can say is that people on the left and right are agreeing, I feel, the Ralph Nader supporters, libertarians, and so on, that there's just too much government. And if we want to get back to the origins of the Constitution, no one can disagree with the fact that government needs to be cut back. The question is how much. Some argue up to 80% to get back to the origins of the Constitution. Maybe it would be 20, 30, 40. That's not for me to decide. That's for the people to decide. And when that happens and we shift the power from the federal elections to the local elections, which will happen, we're going to see accountability rise. Again, back to shining a light. There's a reason Free and Equal Elections, respectfully so, we're targeting the 18 to 28-year-olds. We might as well say the 14 to 28-year-olds. I mean, those young kids are very aware because of the social media, internet. They can see the truth and have the ability to connect more than our generation beyond the millennials. But in any case, when we shift the power back to local elections and governments cut back, then we can decide when we have accountable people in office, does our government, does that system work? I don't have the answers for
that. I want my grandchildren to grow up. Yay! I'm 18, so I can actively not vote. You know what I mean?
They should have the choice to or not. I don't think mandatory
voting. Vote or die!
Yeah, you know, like people need to be inspired to vote and need to feel confident that their vote counts. And I personally do not feel confident that under the current system, knowing that the voting machines alone, Dominion Voting was recently bought by Diebold out of Denver. Guess what? Is owned by the powers to be. The elite that are controlling the party system control our voting system, something Trump should be very aware of.
It's even worse. I mean, I went through this. I mean, you got, what was it, Election System Services, the competing a company against Diebold, and it was his brother. I mean, you know, I'm going, you can't make this stuff up. And
it's bad.
And so that is one thing that just amazed me and why I ran for Secretary of State in Arizona in 94 and again in 06. And it was, I predicted what was going to happen in 94 and in 2004 it happened. And 06, I'm like, yeah, you're still voting. And the point was, is that nobody, they emphasize, you know, I need to have equal time and I want to get to have my say and look at me and look at me and you should vote. And it's so rare and not the awareness of people at the level I think it should be that the voting accuracy is bullshit. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? It is totally jacked up, and it's never emphasized.
I agree. And we're going to be emphasizing that's the whole our presidential debates. We're going to be focusing on the rigged electoral system. We're going to be talking about Diebold and all the other issues, the ballot access, the gerrymandering, the electoral college, the popular vote. I mean, these things have got to be discussed. And through our symposiums, we're going to bring the experts that specialize in these topics, which, again, through a conversation, our debates will be more of a conversation rather than a debate, to be frank. But our symposiums are what's going to truly bring about the solution. So also, we're going to be promoting our election assistant app, which will launch later this year or so, which will list every single candidate running for office, DR, third-party independent candidates. And we'll be able to see the money in their campaigns. Here, click here to register to vote. Click
see,
here.
See, this is my point. You know, I love all these tools, and it's great, and technology allows for this, and but it just kind of glazes over which that it just why- doesn't matter.
That's why we're targeting the 18 to 28-year-olds.
To what? Insist on accurate
years.
Voting counting?
I mean, a bit more jaded than most. And,
no, I got to tell you. All right, you got
around.
Me going here. Here we go.
You got to get ratings, too, on your radio station. I get it.
I worry about that. This is what happened. They had somebody bought one of the original broadsides of the Declaration of Independence. And when they did the Declaration of Independence, they printed up, you know, several copies of it, and I don't know how they did, but, you know, they printed these up, and they called them broadsides. And there was, you know, hundreds of them, a couple hundred or however many, whatever, and they posted them around the colonies, and this is our declaration of them. We don't like, you know, King George anymore, and I break with thee. So when they did that, one of those original copies survived, and some wealthy lefty whatever went and bought it, and they took it on tour and displayed it here at the Arizona State Capitol and went around the country. At the end of this tour was electronic Diebold machines voting all the school children, the entire indoctrination. Was the whole reason we had the Declaration of Independence, but it had nothing to do with government or even the Constitution or voting. It had nothing to do with that. Yeah, it's all about voting on a computer, youngin'.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up at any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story,
same
old story,
same old song and dance. I've heard this before over and over and over and over. That's the same. Same. If we go in, we do it right in this time, and this is the time, and if you did this time, the right this time. It matters this time. The things we can tell you all about this time. And I'm going, no, it doesn't. And I'm just, it's not emphasized enough, in my opinion, and I've been doing it 20 blah, blah years, and saying, look, it just doesn't matter. As soon as you have taken paper out of the equation, it gets more and more centralized. There are solutions. There's ranked choice voting. You can do preferential, blah, 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 all kinds of different ways, and the representation of the people would be more manifested. You would have use blockchain technology to make sure it's more accurate. You could do it on just freaking paper and the little old ladies sitting there counting. We've advocated all kinds of stuff. We got, you know, manual validation here in Arizona, and they ignore it anyway. We did, you know, blah, blah. I mean, it just doesn't matter. And even if it was totally accurate, the ability for the majority to vote to redistribute or take my stuff, it fails from the beginning. So how do we learn this? We have to go through the process. We got to get to where everybody gets to have their say. Everybody gets to have their vote. Everybody, I mean, how many election cycles of getting the ideal of exactly what Christina Tobin wants, freeandequal.org, do we have to go through to see it just doesn't matter? When we get down to what the promise was of the Declaration of Independence, why this show is Declare Your Independence, when we get down to the support of the right of the individual, even if they don't vote, I mean, it's like, no, we're going to vote on how we're going to take your crap. Oh, well, there's a model for society. So I'm just, I don't see it. I don't see it working. I don't. The Constitution was a big, giant violation of the Revolution to begin with. Hamilton, you know, Aaron Burr should be shot for taking so long to shoot Hamilton. I mean, you know, and I know the left, they love them some Hamilton musical. Of course they do. He's the biggest statist there ever was. So I'm just, this whole system is so jacked up, and I get absolutely no pleasure in being proven right every freaking opportunity. But for us to educate ourselves and to evolve past all this obvious crap, we have to do what the promise was. They promise us free, fair, equal elections. Fine, let's do it. Let's see what happens. Everybody gets out and say, "Yo, let's do it. Let's do it." Then see what happens. What do you think is going to happen when you get everything the way you want, Christina? Or are we saved?
Well, again, let the people decide, and it's the money behind the machines, Ernie. I think that when we bring the experts together that specialize in paper ballots versus online software that's open source, because black box voting is not good. Diebold voting machines are not good because the money behind that's tied to the powers to be.
Yeah, how's that changed? Over that, I mean, the last years of the awareness of that very point right there, and it just keeps brushed off to the side.
Well, it's not going to be brushed off during our presidential debates. It's going to be addressed directly. That's going to be an important question amongst many others during the debates and all of the artists and celebrities that come on our stage for the United We Stand Fest, and will be directly addressed by experts at our Electoral Reform Symposium, which will evolve into a 2018-20 university tour that will implement all these components and many others, workshops and so on. We have to educate ourselves. You hit it right there. Education is key.
But the education about the alternative to this whole jacked up, even, you know, this voting over, you know, what's for dinner, you know, by wolves and sheep and so on. I'm going, that's not brought up, it's a waste of time discussing.
No, we educate ourselves on what the solutions are.
Yeah, not
the
voting.
Problems are.
I choose abandon the process.
What's going to make Ernie vote? When Ernie knows that his vote counts, correct? Would that maybe inspire you? And also candidates that you truly believe in. I don't have many myself that these days that I would vote for. I didn't even vote for Ralph Nader, and I worked for him in 08 as his national ballot access coordinator. As an independent, I am, but I didn't believe in all his viewpoints, nor Ron Paul. So there hasn't been candidates that I 100% align with, because I, for me, will not compromise my vote. I'd rather not vote and wait for a candidate that I feel deserves my vote and that I, from the heart, want to give my vote to, and also know one day that my vote will count, because under the current system, it unfortunately, is very clear to me that votes do not count.
Okay, my vote counts.
They will in the future.
My vote counts. I mean, it always counts. I get way, Ernie gets some vote and he counts. And the reason is because every time I put up a sign, every time I speak, every time I do a show, every time, that's my vote. That I know counts.
I agree with
that. So I'm going, you know, they go, Ernie, well, if you don't vote, then you don't get to have a say. Guess what? Ernie gets to have a say. Okay.
You do. And I'm not voting within a corrupt system. And I appreciate that. And I support that.
Well, we also did, when we started the radio show back in February of 2003, immediately I could see what was happening. And, you know, from the people's mind, what their problem was. They were just cogs in the machine. They were supporting the beast that was devouring them. I go, whoa, stop. At least we got walletvoting.com. I'm going, it's all about where you spend your time and money and resources, how you know, take care of your health and what you eat and raise your family. And I mean, this is a vote. You want to have an impact on your society? Well, just know where it really matters. I go, it's where you spend your money. It's where you spend your time. You find out what companies are supportive of whatever in a multi-conglomerate of we rule you, and then you find out they make baby bottles. Don't buy them baby bottles. I mean, this is kind of, there was a very left progressive group, it's called Alanovo. I remember it was when we were at Air America affiliate. They approached me, we had dinner and so on, and I encouraged them to include where the people that were, it's like Like you go to Amazon and they would have rankings, not by how much the customers liked the product. It was ranked by how socially responsible and social justice and all that kind of stuff the company was. I buy a Canon over a Nikon because this one has better health care for its workers kind of crap. And I'm going, yeah, but see, you're directing the wallet voting on your values. What happens when the person that goes up there, they get to select their values? I go, I want the guy that pays them a lot more money and they'll get paid more and they don't have any health care. How about that? You know, a libertarian oriented, and they go, okay, well, we'll do. And that's how they developed it. They went to where the people, as opposed to them imposing what they thought their wallet voting should be, they gave the user the ability to do this. Now, I don't know where it went or how far it went on for years, and the guy was a programmer at Oracle and did and whatever, but he started off being progressive. And I go, how progressive is it to tell people what is in their best interest? You're not going to give me the ability to set my own criteria? Well, that's what's happening anyway. It's going to where we determine what gets our support. We determine where we spend our money. We determine what is important to us at our local level, in our house, maybe even a state, maybe even a country. But the whole point is that all this borders and walls and everything, that's a direct result of this nationalistic, patriotic, we're going to tell everybody, you know, how to live here. And oh, by the way, we got a drone to tell you over there. It's a sickness. And I'm not going to feed into the sickness of telling people what to do, even if I got the majority on my side. I'm not doing it.
Well, let me reel it back into the voting machines. I mean, if you go online, you can look up Clinton Curtis. I mean, this guy was a computer programmer, Diebold. He testified under oath that Diebold's role is in rigging the elections with their electronic voting machine.
Shocking.
So on the documentary Hacking Democracy. So right there, again, you know, Clinton Curtis, I mean, he is an American attorney, computer programmer, and he accuses that Diebold's voting machines are fraudulent. So the two-party system would rather crash the party than let someone else take over. And Hillary Clinton becoming president in 08, I mean, it didn't in the next election, that is, in 16, this November is a very scary thing because she's controlled by the powers to be. And I think they may use the voting machines for her to win.
I would not be surprised, you know, and it just doesn't matter. What's going to matter? It's going to matter when people are just able to keep breathing in and out on their own without any government intervention.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, this is, you know, ooh, blood pressure goes. All right, when we come back in the this last segment, and we can go on if we feel like I got a lot of work I got to do today, but the main thing that we can sum up in this last segment is, what do you think? What do you think we should end on?
Well, I want to end it on us potentially filing suit against UCLA, taking a stand against the corruption of the system. The educational bureaucracy is a big one. And, you know, that was, a big thing. If there's a way we can spin it in that direction, and that we're not going to be bullied here at Free and Equal
Elections. No, we'll just come right back into it. But I'm going, what the hell did you expect was going to happen going to a public university like that? Oh, when Janet Napolitano is now in charge of the California, you know, university system, or I don't know if she still is, but she left Homeland Security to go be in charge of, you know, California universities. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be, you know, free and equal.
Well, it's all meant to be. I thought we could build it so big. Either one thing or the other would happen. We would build it so big that we would hold it at UCLA, or they would wrongfully try to sabotage it and shut it down, and they would be prone to having to pay upwards of millions of dollars for damages for doing so. And that's the direction we're going in.
So the person ultimately in charge that looks at and does and has political pull was a former U.S. district attorney under Clinton in Reno, mm-hmm. that became governor, that then attorney general here, a governor here, then head of the Gestapo, and then goes on to the university, and you're going to get a fair deal. Let me think about that for a second.
Up against a flawed judicial system, but we're going to create a lot of awareness, and there's a very strong possibility, and I hope we just settle privately in UCLA admits to the error that they made. And, you know, we just won't take a stand for being treated that way by the educational system again, because we're going to have a university tour through 18 and 20.
Well, see, my encouragement is that you go to, if there's any, I guess, Hillsdale, I mean, you know, private college somewhere, you know, that you have, it's just a way that you select. I give you an example. When libertarians, we'd have our meetings all the time. We'd always do it at restaurants. Well, of course, you know, there's, you know, the vast majority of libertarians complaining about, you mean it cost me, I have to order? I'm poor, man. We're libertarians. So they would always be, why don't you go to the public library? You can, for $5, you can rent a nice room that has audiovisual, and you can do whatever and bring in drinks or something. And or you can do the civic center, the community center, the county, blah, blah, blah. And when I was county chair, I'm going, no. We're not using subsidized taxpayers, just out of principle of the thing. We're going to support some local restaurant doing, and if you can't afford to go, you know, life sucks, or we'll get you, you can drink water or something. So it was just, it's a principle thing, because we knew that whenever it was a big deal, right when we got into marketing and push, and you're not allowed anymore. You know, it's just another mechanism by which they control. I just don't give them that power.
I want to throw it in there, because I'm sure UCLA's legal counsel and all will dig into every interview we do. But the person who funded a big chunk, six figures towards this United We Stand Fest in 14, is an alumni of UCLA. So should this go public, which we're prepared to go forward with entirely, releasing the legal demand and all the details, a declaration from our witness and our funder who wired $90K on time, who does feel and told our legal counsel that's in the best interest for UCLA to settle privately, this will be a public embarrassment.
Yeah, they don't care. They just get another grant.
Well, right, UCLA prizes
the Liberty
up
Radio
and
Network
makes
program
money
guide
off
to
of,
find out at shows.mrn.fm.
It just doesn't really matter, my man.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Yeah, destruction of the freaking state. You know, I don't believe that, you know, humanity is going to extinguish itself or not learn from that. You know, we always do. It's just, you know, fits and starts. But, you know, in the end, it's just public opinion. And it just comes to public opinion, public opinion, public opinion, public opinion. I always deal in public opinion, because it doesn't matter if you can get everything that you want. If you don't have public opinion on your side, it doesn't matter who gets elected. It doesn't matter what laws they pass. It doesn't matter who they bomb. It doesn't matter. Because if you don't have public opinion on your side, it's never really going to take, certainly with the people. It's not going to be supported in the long run, but they don't care. They, them, those that say, yeah, but we got your money now. You think when the dollar goes, the petrodollar is done, and we got competing worldwide currencies doing whatever, that they're going to, they, them, those are going to be, you know, out on the street? Well, maybe a bunch of their minions out there being lobbyists and, you know, the infrastructure that they have, but the big bad boys are moving the chess pieces around. They're fine in the Caymans sitting on their yacht of, you know, space station or whatever. They're going, yeah, we're good. Dr. Evil with his pinky up, you know, we're fine. And I'm just, you know, I just, and the more that we participate in this, that's what gives them power. You know, Dr. Frank made a good comparison. He says in one of the last Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger's going to, you know, finally the girl, you know, it's dreaming and nightmare, and it's coming after. She goes, you know what, I'm not afraid of you anymore. Never mind. She just turns her back on and he disappears. Their power is there because of our participation, because of our fear, because of our rubbing of hands and whining and worrying. I don't care. I just, you know, the heck with them. Well, you know, we got to have, you know, the supporting evidence of why we shouldn't. Well, one of those things is UCLA You're dealing with a, you know, I was telling Christina in the break, I mean, look at what happened. We have a lot of people don't know, in the early 90s, there was a big thing called ASCAM. It was a big corruption scandal. And one of the Senate majority leaders got caught on tape taking a $4,000 bribe. At the end of it, all the tape got damaged and had an attorney that argued and kind of back and forth and ouch, quit it and dismissed. And then, you know, the state had to pay like $60,000 for attorney fees for this majority Democrat leader of whatever scumbag. You know, everybody knew, but he got away with it. Who was his attorney? Janet Napolitano. Well, that's a minimum job requirement for you to move on up and get, you know, appointed U.S. assistant attorney under Janet Reno during the Clinton administration. Then she's attorney general. She goes after the Viper militia and going to get some. Then she's attorney general. Then she's governor. When she comes governor, the scumbag politician that she got off before became her co-chief of staff. You can't make this stuff up. Then she goes on to be what? She's, you know, Gestapo head at the Department of Homeland Security. Then what happened to her? She's in charge of the universities, public universities in California, where you got UCLA. What the hell did you think was going to happen? You know, I'm just like, you know, like I took a crazy pill. So now the freeandequalgoes.org, they go and they have an event scheduled at UCLA. And then they did what, Christina?
Well, in 2014, we were slated to hold our United We Stand Fest at UCLA, and 5 days out, they wrongfully canceled the event. It was a direct attempt of sabotage, and it was not right. And we just publicized this nationally. In fact, the UCLA Daily Bruin called us and got a quote from our legal counsel. And so the good news is the show went on. It was a lot of hurdles. The damages beyond monetary, our name spreading a false seed of doubt in my competence, which just was not the case. We fulfilled everything on our end. They received the final payment of $90,000 on time from our funder. In fact, UCLA increased the amount from $60,000 to $90,000 10 days out. By over 50%, which was just not cool. And I knew months out that the dean, the events department, they were very much against us holding the event there because we truly stand for change and reforming our electoral system. And when you see the dean being endorsed by Hillary Clinton, the bucket loads of millions of dollars, according to Open Secrets, that UCLA and that system's given to Democratic candidates, I knew I was up against the a challenge there. But in order to make change, we have to break through our educational system. And UCLA prides itself on making change, civil rights movement, this and that. And, you know, the ironic part, as we were mentioning, you know, off the during the break, was that the big funder, we had lots of people supporting it, you know, Indiegogo campaigns, $25,000 we raised, $15,000, $7,000 afterwards. But the big six-figure funder is an alumni of UCLA. And I mean, they shut it down wrongfully, and we're going to go public with that if we don't settle privately very quickly. And I hope that we do. But the good thing is that public opinion was on our side, because when that wrongful cancellation happened, next thing you knew, the people came out on social media very angry and upset towards UCLA. And we were able to schedule the United We Stand Fest at an alternative venue. I booked it on the day of the event. Who does that? It was pretty challenging. But the day of at noon, I booked the alternative venue at Belasco Theater in L.A. And 5 hours later, the show went on. I didn't know if two people would show up. I had no idea. We had thousands of people. We packed a venue with 2,000, 3,000, over 2,000 people. We still had lines around the block from both entrances of the doorway, and the show went on. So the public opinion was on our side. UCLA, what they did was wrong. The person who funded the $90,000 on time is willing and wanting to sign a declaration, contesting and really messaging to UCLA as well that it's been their best interest to settle. The damages, should we go to arbitration, are in the millions. I recognize the judicial system is flawed and UCLA has their hands into that. But from the public opinion side, we will win.
Okay, I tell you where I public opinion, I want to get some. I'll show you, you know, the video audience this. when the Star Wars new movie came out, we did a campaign that we prepped the weeks before, and on that weekend of release of the movie, all over the country, we had activists that did like the Lovolution signs and so on. We started back in the day in 07. We did Stop Wars, Home Educate, and it had Darth Vader wearing an Uncle Sam hat, okay? Well, we did those all over the country. The point was, is that I'm going, while you're saying we have to get into the university system where the kids are, I go, yeah, you know what the solution is? Not have the kids there. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, stop. All of a sudden now you start to see the crack. Even Google, of all places, are going, you know, we don't care about degrees anymore. Pass this test. Degrees don't mean anything. Now, smartest kids are the ones that bailed out. You know, you have Peter Thiel say, I give you $100,000 to freaking not go to college. I mean, you know, and suck all the life out of your innovation and inspiration. So I deal on a whole different holistic level. This is the reason that you're going to these universities. Why? Because you think that's where they are. You think that's where you need to be. You think that I'm going, yeah, we'll change that perception, change that dynamic, change that paradigm, change that reality. Is that, yeah, you're right. That's where they're, you know, indoctrinated. Oh, and to the tune of a gazillion-dollar student debt, I got out, and here's my sheepskin, cost me $100,000, and I don't have a job. Now what? Well, we're going to live in tiny houses. Nope, they're illegal. You're not allowed to do that. You know, I'm just going, this whole system is coming crashing down, and it's all built in the foundation of the very thing that you're trying to prop up and support. But we have to go through. That's why I'm supportive of what you're doing, is because we have to go through this phase to understand that it's jacked up from the beginning. And I'm just on so many levels, even if everybody got to have their say, even if the voting was accurate, even if the promise was the defense of the rights of the individual human being. And any time that that is challenged, threatened, not available, you know, you're going to have revolutions if you're lucky. You know, and if you're not, you want to have a revolution. Well, there's always somebody standing over there. They got a solution for me. How about I get to have my own plan? And you know what my solution is? You get to have your own plan. Christina Tobin, freeandequal.org, helping us understand. I wish her success. She needs to be able to continue her work, be supported, and do what she's doing, because I think that is part of our humanity's evolution towards being sovereign individuals to be able to express our own pursuit of happiness as long as it doesn't bother another human. Well, and maybe even some dolphins. Maybe some orcas, maybe a little bit of whale, maybe a couple of dogs.
Why did you move to the Shire?
There. I'm glad I got to express myself. Hopefully you got everything out that you wanted, but especially the UCLA thing, they're going to, you know, they need to, you know, get, but I'm telling you, the whole system is stacked against exactly what you're doing.
I knew that going in there, but we have to break through it, and we will. And University of Colorado Boulder is welcoming us with open arms. And I must say, we've held over a dozen events, debates at universities, from University of Connecticut, University of Chicago, University of Sacramento, Arizona, and had a pleasant experience. So UCLA was the exception, and what they did was tantamount to bullying. I mean, thousands have fought and died in our country for freedom, and to have the administration of a public university whose salaries are paid for by the taxpayers stifle democracy and free speech of its own students and a nonprofit organization is truly shocking. And so the fact that former Attorney General Ramsey Clark, I met him through the network because all the civil rights leaders are rising behind the scenes in support of free and equal elections. They connected Mr. Ramsey Clark and I, as you may recall, served under Lyndon B. Johnson and John F. JFK. He's really come out in support of us taking this lawsuit public, filing suit against UCLA. And he did say in a public statement, Ramsey Clark, though I am presently unable to directly participate in the legal defense, it is my view that there is certainly the basis in this case for a vigorous examination of the circumstances that led to the disappointing event of UCLA, you know, canceling our fest. And so he says it is incumbent upon all of us to go out of our way to maximize the maximize the trust in the institutions of academic freedom at a time when impartial execution of the laws of civil society and the United States Constitution for all of our citizens is in jeopardy. And I have no fear. I'm going in all the way to make this right. And I do feel that UCLA is in our best interest to settle privately, and we can move forward in a positive direction, free and equal, UCLA, and be on our way.
That may be in their, you perceive their interest, but I'm of the opinion that their interest is going to be whatever somebody tells them it is.
And right. We go public. We're going to win no matter what. I'm good to go. We're going all the way. And I'm fine to take it to suit and put everything out there. Because you know what? The people deserve to know what UCLA did. And when should we release all of that, it's going to result in a lot of people, I feel, who support UCLA to pull back their funding. And if that's what's meant to be, I'm prepared to go about that. But what they did was wrong. They intentionally harmed us. And I saw it again months out. We had hundreds of student group leaders supporting our event. I spoke in front of at least 100 of them, 50 for sure. I like to lowball it, but standing, clapping, approval, they wanted to support it. And they came to us one after another telling me that their advisors told them not to support the United We Stand Best. I knew this 3 months out, but you can't change the date or a venue of an event that big because it's, you know, it's a political suicide. So I had to push forward and build it even bigger. We had Public Enemy as a headliner, Immortal Technique, founding members of Wu-Tang Clan, again, Dennis Kucinich, Marianne Williamson, Ben and Jerry, and so on, Larry King, and UCLA shut that down. Why? Well, maybe we're just going to need to go public and figure it out, but we all have a pretty good idea. It's definitely in their best interest to settle it, and that'll send a message to the educational system that we will not be subject to being bullied again.
You know, I'm always about economic incentives, economic boycotts. I mean, it would be, if you really wanted to have an impact, I mean, this is where I, you know, kind of shine, is I'll go ahead and take and do like our newspaper and focus on education stuff and how it's jacked up and don't do it and the expense of, and you're wasting your time, and here's alternatives, and you got, you know, freaking MIT has every course online, and here's the certification classes that you can take and everything, and bypass and don't go to UCLA and start in elementary school, 7th, 8th grade, junior highs, and take a 6-year campaign of, yeah, you wonder why nobody's gone? Because you suck and you pissed me off, you know, 6 years ago, and now I get some. You do that, and then they're like, whoa, 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 holy crap, we didn't expect that, you know?
Noted. I agree with you. I think that homeschooling, education, alternative forms of it, I don't know if UCLA is to see how the students were manipulated and brainwashed by the advisors and the powers to be there was pretty scary to see. So that is not the kind of people that we need to be raising in this world. And I don't think that they're bringing about the students of UCLA in the right way. Maybe the private institutions. I think that they keep treating companies and nonprofits like us this way. I'm sure they've done to many others. I don't, the educational system, they're going to put themselves out of businesses too. I mean, to train us to go into 9-to-5, you know, working slave for the rest of our lives jobs, these educational institutions, is not the way. We should be doing what we love.
It's Alan, a full
Alan
point.
Watt said it best. What if money were no object? Why work 9-to-5 for someone else your whole life when you could be doing what you love? You could focus, become an expert at it, get an exchange. It doesn't even have to be about money. Federal Reserve, a lot of what Free and Equal Elections is built on is through exchange, Ernie. We exchange. I don't support the Federal Reserve. I don't like to use the monetary dollar because that's another tool that feeds into the system. And everything I do, it comes from a good place. It's from the heart, and compromising is not an option. I am a Tobin. You met my dad, so you have a bit of an understanding there with his history. But I am really excited to see
I can see this, especially if you're going to continue to participate at the university level to do this. This is where they really see the impact, is when you take away their livelihood, when you start demonstrating, you know, it's Khan Academy. You know, I'm not. See, I was one of the
campaign. That's what this lawsuit will do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm hoping
ready to
so.
Go.
I'm trying to, you know, the Stop Wars Home Educate thing was support of defendingarchimedes.com is something we've been working on for like 5 years. And I didn't press it as much as I thought I would, because when I was looking to use this as a launch pad for that, I looked and I saw that there was a lot of material available for people to be able to get the education that they wanted at the highest level, and it be free. And it was, but as I looked through it, every single one of these had, you had to have an account. And when Bill Gates got involved with Khan Academy, I could see what was going on. They have an account, and it's like a point system gaming. My grandkids are like, oh yeah, I don't want my brother to do that. I want my own, and I get, and he's adding points to mine and lowering my average of blah, blah, blah. And when you look at it, to sign up, it's free, but you're the product. And what happens is I go, oh, so when they say your permanent record, it's Bill Gates' permanent record. And it's like, not only what you learn, how fast you learn it, and it's like a episode of Firefly or Serenity, where the 2x2 hands of Blue Alliance is going to come, yeah, and you're too smart to be out on your own, you're working for us now. And I'm going, no, I want the anonymity of the individual. I want to be able to, hell, I'll pay for it, but and as a parent, I'd love to have this information on my kid, but I don't want you to have it, and I need that option. So I pulled back on the project because there weren't enough security measures for a developing mind at 5 to 6 years old to go 10, 15 years, get educated, come out, and then decide what they wanted to share with people instead of being a statistic for somebody to go, you know, have their punch card come up and you're working for the man now, or see him as a threat. So I'm going, no. Anonymity is, I want that option, and blockchain technology, encryption, and so on, allows for this, but it's not ready yet. And I just didn't want to, so we'll go back in the box, and we'll wait, and we'll advocate, and, you know, as time goes on, and when it's ready, we'll pull the trigger on it, and it looks like it's going to be pretty soon. There's a lot of new decentralized internet options that are coming. So this is IC technology. If you look on Freedom's Phoenix on the left side, on the column there, you'll see it's called Top Tech News. If you click on Top Tech News, it goes to that page. All that top tech, there's so much, even though it's a political site, there's so much technology that I put in there of how the individual is freed from this kind of stuff. And it comes with knowledge. I mean, you got to know. And that's why I'm so supportive of what you're doing, is because you have to get the promise. You have to do the way it was promised. You have to get the participation of. If we don't get that, we won't have the data points that we can see to move on, because they haven't done this. Even if they do, I don't believe. Will it be better? I hope, maybe, but that's not where my focus is. You know, I want to make you look, you know, as crazy as they say, oh my God, it's a pure democracy. I just want you to look moderate. You're the good guy. I'm the crazy. So I'm supportive of what you're doing. I keep, you know, wanting to have you on, and we'll walk this through, but I'm on a whole different trajectory. My ladder's on a different wall.
Not really. You brought up the word holistic, and that really rang in my ears. And I think that, you know, I'm reading books on Buddhism. I lived in Bali for 3 years. It's primarily Hindu there. You know, obviously their government's quite flawed as well, but I found that most people everywhere I've been in the world are good people. And that holistic, dropping the R and going into a direction of evolution. And like Ron Paul once said, if we're ever going to bring about revolutionary changes, and I always drop that R and say evolutionary, two things would need to be involved, the youth and music. And, you know, I welcome Ron Paul to join our platform. I think he's surrounded by a lot of people with agendas that may not be in the best interest of our country. Hopefully that's changed. But his lack of being on social media definitely hinders his ability to see what's real out there, what isn't. Dennis Kucinich, on the other hand, is very savvy on social media and a great friend and ally of Free and Equal Elections. But, you know, through evolution, holistic meditation, energy, music, I didn't hit that, the importance of music and how there are really, you know, we are interconnected. And I have a friend of mine who once said, heart has no borders, you know, and I really, that resonates. It has no borders. And when we start giving back to our community and getting involved, whether we're donating a few hours of our time, volunteering for somebody running for office, people start asking people in their community to run for office, that's when the change is going to come about. Because everything we talk about, no matter what the problem is, derives from having the wrong people in office. And until, not if, but when.
It's not the people sitting on the throne. It's the throne. And when you say Ron Paul's not involved, he's engaged a great deal.
There's no more throne when we replace them, then they have no more power. And that's the key.
See, it's not money in politics. It's politics. It's the power. The money will always make its way to the power. You have to eliminate the power. Nobody wants to do away with the power. No matter how much power they give the one president, the next guy bitching about it is going to add to that and wield that too. So to think Ron Paul's not engaged, I mean, he is quite a bit.
But on social media, he's not.
Why? He knows it doesn't matter.
You know, yes, it does. I think all the people who are going to run for office for Congress local races, millennials and all ages for that matter, are going to be very savvy on social media and the internet, because you have got to be running your own campaign, I feel, in order to maintain that accountability.
This and social media paradigm that exists now is another lie. It is. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we just have? Facebook now is controlling
the news feed. I think something bigger than Facebook will rise in the future.
Absolutely. And it's going to be decentralized. It's going to be down to the power and popularity of the individual. This is what we're supporting and waiting on. The only reason I have a YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter accounts is waiting for when it's time to move over. We already are working on it. We already set it up in the back. We already got, you know, staff ready for this. When we make the shift over to the decentralized internet, it's going to be, yep, here's all, look at all social media, we're over here now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And screw
it. I agree, there's going to be something alternative, but definitely the system, I mean, they have the ability, from my understanding, to shut down the internet if they want, obviously.
Absolutely, which is why we go
why
to...
It would hurt them if they did that, I mean.
No, we go to CubeSat, we go to Mesh Network, we're going to satellite-based Elon Musk putting up 8,000 new next year. I mean, I'm kind of... This is... The signal goes everywhere, and there's nothing they can do to stop it.
Then the social media will evolve. So when I say social media, it's not necessarily the ones you just mentioned, but what you're saying will evolve into in the next year, a couple of years. I think once it takes off, it's going to be very quickly. But we didn't even touch about like technology and how that's been
intentionally suppressed. Well, it doesn't matter. Okay, I'll give you an example. Ron Paul is not Donald Trump. Donald Trump, man, he dominates with Twitter. I thought it was awesome that he's just like, you know, I want to get in the news, I just do a tweet.
There you go. Social media.
Well, what happened with Dr. Paul? Everybody else did it for him. He didn't have to do squat.
That was a problem.
Why? He said what he said.
I think that, you know, now that he's not as an, I think it's a problem. I think a lot of people around him have agendas that aren't necessarily the agenda of the people. And I think Ron himself is a pure individual. I don't personally agree with all his viewpoints. Rand, on the other hand, I just know that he abandoned his community in Kentucky. And I could sit down and have a cup of coffee with him. I'll see him at Freedom Fest. I'm sure he'll, since I'm doing the panel with Ed Asner there, it'll be on his radar. What's free and equal elections now? But I mean, when you abandon your community, and I held an event out in Kentucky, and dozens, 30, 50, 100 people running for local elections, everyone told me that, Paul abandoned them. And when you abandon your community, it's just hard to have that sort of trust. That you have to always remember your community locally and your roots and where you come from.
Well, Ron is very clear. That's when he lost me back in
2010.
I've been dealing with Ron for, a long time. And I tell you, it was always, Austrian economics and leave me aloneism. We'll use that constitution interpret to leave me alone. But he's been pretty freaking consistent. And it's why I knew it was going to take off. And I'm like, look, I didn't want to have anything to do with the campaigns. They were doing their best to try and pull me. I go, hell no. I already know where that goes. You guys go do and play your, you know, Jesse Benton games and, you know, Doug Weed and all the guy. Hell no. I don't have anything to do. It was a people thing. Well, the people didn't disappoint me, and the youth sure as hell didn't. This is, it still have the ramifications of these campaigns. It's what created Donald Trump. I mean, when Donald Trump, the Tea Party thing, and he's all pissed off that Mitt Romney, you know, laid down and gave and it was all rigged, he started doing his Donald Trump preparations back in 12. So when he comes up and he's like, yeah, we're going to get some, and the Republican National Committee comes up and says, oh, sign this, you're going to support. He goes, yeah, absolutely. And when you guys, you know, renege on this, I'm going to kick your butt because I'm not going to let you Ron Paul me. And I'm going, this is an understand, it's an evolution, and that Ron should do something to further the electoral process. I think you misread him. He doesn't want to have the federal government having this kind of Democratic tells them what they want to do and how to rule the individuals in the state. His whole thing was to stop that.
I spoke with Dr. Paul last week, and he's just so disconnected from social media, and you know, and his energy is not, at least a week or so ago, and I speak with him a couple times a year, is you know, not as enthusiastic as I would hope it would be.
Towards what?
Well, I would say just in general, even towards fixing, reforming the electoral system. You know, Dennis Kucinich is a close friend of Dr. Paul, and he's told Dr. Paul about the Free and Equal Elections Foundation. And while social media, a couple of years ago when Paul was running, it worked maybe for him to hire people or whatnot to manage a social media. These days, people want the candidates to run their own social media, hence, you know, Donald Trump and so on. I think having that access, you know, to the actual person is super key from this point forward. So it worked for Ron before. I think it worked better if he was more engaged on social media. But, you know, again,
to what end?
Older.
I mean, what is it you want him to do? He's on social media. See, Ron Paul said
You know, Ron Paul said the quote, and I told him on the phone, Dr. Paul, you quoted, if you're ever going to bring about revolutionary change, two things would need to be involved.
I remember.
The youth and the music. And his calling is what helped create the creation, that is, of the United We Stand Festival. We're holding our third annual fest. He said the youth and the music. Well, you know what, Dr. Paul? You asked for it. Here it is.
Yeah, for what? For a progressive, we need to have accurate voting to rule you by majority? That's not going to happen with Ron.
Well, again,
he's not going to get up high on the
about revolutionary change, youth and music. He should, and I believe he will be on that.
Define revolutionary change. Change to what?
Well, let Dr. Paul define that on our
he
stage.
He did!
on our stage. It's his quote.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you wanted his participation in your event.
I think that he'll be on our stage. He won't be the first one to lead it. I think the ones that are engaged with social media will be on our stage first. But I think eventually, you know, the leaders will be following each other. You know, in order to become a good leader, you have to be a good follower as well. But a true leader creates more leaders, not followers.
He's
I love that quote.
Wow, you so misunderstand Dr. Biden. He is not. He's just there. He's just advocating, representing since forever. He got in the politics because he knew what abandonment of the Bretton Woods, you know, the gold standard, what was going to happen. He'd go, look, I know what's going to happen. Well,
it's
happening.
He's a great guy. He's an accountable guy, and he could do even more. Sometimes the system makes people a bit jaded. I mean, Ralph Nader is a great guy, but he still types on his typewriter. He doesn't even use a computer. So Dr. Paul does probably beat him on that one. But, you know, it's an age cultural difference. They were born in a different time and era. But then Dennis Kucinich is older, not as old, and he's super savvy on social media.
Yeah,
so,
I know. I've had Dennis on the show a couple of times, but I'm telling you, it's all about, you know, anyone that is advocating fixing the system is not in my, you know, that's not an arrow in my quiver.
Reforming the system.
I don't want to reform. I want to abandon it. I want to ignore it. I want to, you know, I
well, you know, we can't. I think that if we just abandon and have no government, that could lead into a lot of chaos. But I do welcome
compared
anarchists.
To what?
I do welcome and have had anarchists like Jeff Berwick and arguably the Foster Gamble Thrive movement that believe in no government. you know, on our stage and speaking, and I welcome that. But in order for that to even be an option, we have to first and foremost get accountable people in office, right? And then cut back government. And at that point, we can decide, do we even need government or not? I don't know. I don't have the answer.
It's not ever even going to be possible until the accuracy in the election process.
Anybody that accountable people in office.
Oh God! How do you get accountable people in office when they're accountable only to the guy that runs the machine?
You through a movement and a platform. How do you think we legalized gay marriage? It became a movement. You know, how did we legalize concealed carry? And now a marijuana, you know, is happening.
Well, somebody's got to do something. I don't see anybody doing it. We got to get better than fixing people get to have a say, and their say is it doesn't matter, Diebold. You know, so I'm just, until that, I'm looking for the focus on that. Now, when you talk about hacking democracy.
Well, you're speaking right to it.
I remember back in 2004, when I was running against McCain, the only campaign material that I handed out was copies of Hacking Democracy that I bootlegged. I just made a crap load of them. I just passed them out. I go, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Statewide campaign. That 2004 election cycle, enormous corruption was discovered, competing election fraud of the 2004 election. Well, of course, I'm running for 2006 Secretary of State going, Neon, I freaking told you so. What happens? The Senate Majority Leader, he comes in and he says, you know what? Jack Harper, you know, out of Sun City, guy comes up and he says, you know what? Screw this. I'm doing a Senate subpoena. I want all the ballots here. We're just going to count it by hand. This months and months of what the hell is going on to keep adding more ballots and fraud in the electronic part. Just put them on the desk and we're going to hand count them. Within hours, the FBI seized all of them without even a claim of jurisdiction, took all the ballots, and you never heard about it again. I'm on live television going, look at what just happened. And that's how they passed a manual validation. Well, in the 2008 election cycle, what did they do? They passed a manual validation. You go to that election cycle, and they didn't obey the law. So we go in lawsuit. No, that was 2006. We're going lawsuit after and after and after. And what did all this proof? And the judge goes, yeah, well, it's too late. It doesn't matter. We got to certify and get over it. I'm going, how's this system working? Even when you get legislation to manually validate, it is so corrupt on so many levels that even anything that doesn't focus on fixing the accuracy of when you do get people to vote and they are going to have their voice and they do have the options, if you don't have the accuracy of their representation of what they want, it doesn't matter. And anybody that's not focusing on that is wasting my time. Now, then after that, you'll get to whether I care if voting matters or not. After that, then we can talk about whether voting even matters after that. But until it's accurate, it's a total big giant circle jerk.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I bow down to ACLU launching that app for, you know, for example, and I'm a reel it into the voting inaccuracy and all the fraud, pretty much, is what you're speaking, electoral fraud. But, you know, the fact that we had this issue and still do with the police brutality. So imagine when people could actually videotape and still can on their app, hey, police officer beating someone, and they hit send. And before that police officer even takes the phone, it's sent to ACLU suit. And so a lot of that has really risen to the surface. And I see the same thing happening in the future. And I think a lot of this fraud is going to be exposed, and that's going to help feed into the shift in the energy for replacing the people in office. Essentially, congressional local races are what need to be targeted first, and then everything else is going to fall into place. I mean, the FBI, the judicial system, the prison system. I mean, it essentially, we've got to take away the primary life source of the powers to be that control us. And
yes, our voluntary compliance with their bullshit.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to expose them through these apps, social media, technology. What happened with police brutality is going to happen the same way with electoral fraud. I can see people that are going to go to elections and monitor the voting and really call it out and download it when they see fraud and really point fingers towards those who are guilty of it.
What the heck do you think was going on through this whole Republican nominating vetting process of people, you know. Now, Ron, he was like, yeah, we knew the rules and how they were going to play the game and whatever. And, of course, Trump is kind of highlighting how jacked up it is. But people, they want, oh, we need the youth. We need them to come in. But we want them to be our Indians and not chiefs of their own. You know, they want to do what they want to do. No, they're not allowed. We just need a bunch of young bodies to do what the blue hairs tell them. Well, that was the Ron Paul thing. Then here comes the Trump guys. Okay, we want the, you know, immigration control and build the wall, kind of, you know, the traditional conservative America. We go kick somebody's ass in the American flag of Trump. Well, we don't want them either. Well, who the hell do you want? You want a bunch of robots is what you want. You want a bunch of big spending. We're going to do and empower the government of kind of your, whether your vote is accurate or not. This whole process, this evolution, I'm telling you, Christina.
Ron Paul and the delegate thing to respond to that. Again, the system, they would rather crash the party than let someone else take
they're
over.
They're going to be voting for Hillary.
but he, you know, Ron Paul built a movement, Sanders, Trump, in different types of movement and energy levels for sure, for a movement and independent uprising bigger than I think any one person. It's about coming together, interconnected, unity, and back to that holistic approach.
The holistic approach goes down to the individual, Christina. You keep saying, see, Dr. Paul, you could take your influence and build the army of this. We go whip ass. And he's going, that was never about that. That was just a side effect of advocating for the individual. That's never even on anybody's radar screen.
The biggest majority is the individual. A wise man once told me that.
You know, I tell you, the smallest minority is the individual.
Minority is the individual. You told me that.
Right, no, everybody's
that
going,
part.
You know, we got to have minority rights and minority with this woman and you know, this gay of whatever and this, you know, race of some, this religion of, you know, we got to, you know, advocate for the minority. I go, yeah, well, what about the smallest minority, the individual? They never talk about that.
You have a good point. And, you know, I know throughout, I've heard, you know, very clearly throughout this conversation, and you have the right, you know, to question accountability. And I'm really big on you are who you surround yourself with. And as free and equal elections, whatever direction it goes in, I do consider you a mentor. I listen to you. I hear you. And like Ron Paul, you stuck to what you believe in. Not everybody may agree with what you have to say on voting, this and that.
Yes.
I do for the most part. But you stick with what you believe in. And you don't change your values. And you're consistent. And that's where you and I align. As you get to know me better, you're going to, if you dig through my videos of 5, 10, 20 years ago, you'll see I'm very consistent, you know, on that, the corruption of the party system. I mean, coming from the Chicago, again, electoral system, I've been up against the Michael Madigans. I protested 6, 7, 8 weeks in a row, and he used the police to try to arrest me to shut down the protest. You know, went national, him using taxpayers' dollars to successfully knock an independent Ralph Nader off the ballot. You know, I've been in the home of Rahm Emanuel, who Rob Halpin was renting at that time, who ran for mayor and was the resident in Illinois. You have to be a resident to run for office for mayor. And Rahm was trying to claim his own household as residency when he was in D.C. He wasn't a resident of Illinois. But guess what? The rules that the two-party system creates, it isn't for them. It's for everyone else. It's for everyone else. I know that Obama was had no challengers when he ran for Senate. It was slated. Anybody who ran against him, the Chicago Board of Elections knocked off the ballot. I've seen the rigorous corruption of the Chicago electoral system. And I realized if I'm going to make and we're going to make change at Free and Equal Elections, I have to go national and make this a national issue, because I was not going to be able to do it on a statewide level at that time. So I'm ready, you know, for what the system has thrown at me between the United We Stand Fest, between 2008 and when we hosted our first presidential debate, Ernie. Initially, our debate was canceled. I was written up in the LA Times as a fake. Well, you know what? I overcame the odds, and 4 days later, we held our first presidential debate, and that was the creation of Free and Equal Elections. And finally, Ralph Nader once told me on the phone, he said, Christina, this is a huge compliment. I'll never forget this. He says, you're tenacious. Most people give up. They stop at, you know, first base, second base, but you keep going. You don't give up. And this
I'll keep supporting you as long as you keep going and advocating, because it helps in the evolution education of what I want.
And I got to be surrounded by people like you to keep, you know, keep you in check, because there's going to be all these people that are going to come to me and say they want something, but you know what? Where were they when I needed them? You were there interviewing me today. And I will remember that. And I will be thankful for everyone's roles, but I'll remember those who believed in this cause so early on. And as we're about to break through, and no matter how big it becomes, my life may change. I'm prepared for that possibility. It's looking very likely. I'm still a person, a human being, no matter, the Dalai Lama is a human being, a great human being. Gandhi, we're all human beings, and we can't lose the root of where we came from, who we were, through my father, through having interviews with you. Being on this interview now, when I hang up, is going to inspire me to get even so much more work done, because I recognize how much is on, I have people messaging me, Ernie, over and over again. I promise you this, saying, Freen equals my last resort. I don't see any other way. This is it. This is our only chance. This is it. And I knew this was going to come years ago, and I'm ready to take on the pressure, but also with the help of many others like yourself. We've got to carry this together. I'm simply the founder, and I do foresee this movement.
When I think that we'll won is when you see it in your best interest. Freen equals best interest, the best interest of your audience, to have, this advocacy of stop voting as an option. I mean, it's when that comes around, you'll go, I'm going to send you I'll send the article to you. In 2000, the newspaper here asked me to, I was running for Congress against Shattuck. And they asked, the voting numbers were plummeting. And they're just, man, this whole thing, the jig's up, man. Nobody's playing anymore. We need you to write, an article as a third party encouraging people to vote. And I go, hey, you're so talking to the wrong guy. And the title of the article was Voting Never Freed Anybody. And this was prophetic. And it's like, I'm clairvoyant. And you read that now, 16 years later, and you go, holy crap, they predicted exactly what was good, the mindset of people. And that's something that is written for someone exactly like you. So I'll go ahead and send that to you. Imagine that during an election cycle, running for Congress, a featured article on the editorial page, this sentiment. And it was, why the still voting, signs, the V for Vendetta stuff and the Levolution and the, you're still voting. All that is so, there's an undercurrent there that would be supportive of what you're doing, as if it had, a relevance to them of calling BS on what they know is the problem with the system. And I think everyone can be concerned. There's enough evidence of the machinery of the actual election. The accuracy of the election is crap. As you're dancing, how many, of you can dance on the head of a pin means nothing when the whole thing is corrupt. And if that's not emphasized, at least, and then you get into the, voting itself, whether it's moral or not, but that would be interesting, but that's never brought up because there's too much weight there. There's too much sense there. There's too much it pulls from what you're trying to do. But to get legitimacy in what you're doing, you have to bring that up as a real weapon against this corruption that you have, which certainly includes the accuracy of the voting. So I'm going to send you a couple of things that
I agree with you.
I think it would benefit. I think it would get more enthusiasm. I think it would, foster more participation and more support, because if they can see what you're doing as an evolutionary step in, really fixing it, or as a, like even the education of junior high kids, you want to piss off UCLA. You want to piss off the entire California, Janet Napolitano was there for a reason system, is that you go after starting with the junior high and saying, look, what the hell are you doing getting this enormous debt for you and your family that they don't, you think it's like, it's automatic job you're going to get earned. No, it's not. And it's lying and look at, and one of the examples you use is the electoral process. This is, from your standpoint, how you start even a little bit of that, they're going, whoa, 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 whoa. let's negotiate.
I'll tell you, after seeing what the dean and the advisors at UCLA did to essentially manipulate and brainwash those students, going from clapping and excited to support our United We Stand Fest to we've been told by our advisors whispering in the ear that we're not allowed to support the United We Stand Fest. I want to have them to be able to, when I graduate, I want to have their approval or their letter of endorsement or whatever it may be called. And, you know, the manipulation of the system of what I saw, they are not serving the best interests of the students at UCLA. I mean, it was uncanny. I was blown away that they would go that far to manipulate a younger, mindset, just like the system in war. You know,
God, they're a government institution. What the hell do you think is going to happen?
I'm ready to battle this all the way to the end publicly. I'm ready to go for however long it takes. And I have a prominent law firm that specializes in electoral arena that completely supports this case, is an on board to take it all the way to the end. And we're going to reap the rewards and benefits primarily for the people, because their wrongdoing was just astronomical. And I'm okay with settling privately and letting that energy go, and I'm all for that. But I'm prepared for whatever.
Well, you let me know what we can do to help make yeehaw out of it, because I want to play.
It's going to cost us probably arbitration upwards of $20,000. Fortunately, our attorney is just taking on the case. She believes in the cause, so we're very fortunate there. So it's going to be quite cheap considering how much it could be, but. From a PR standpoint, that's not my goal, but it's gonna be so bad for UCLA, and I really hope to just settle it with them privately. And they made an error, and they've got to own up to it. They should not have treated a credible organization. I was very kind throughout the process and treated so unfairly by an educational bureaucracy that should not have treated myself nor the students that way, manipulated and brainwashed them. It's not okay. So I think the educational system is going to naturally break its own self down after seeing what I experienced. But then on the other end of the totem pole, you have University of Colorado Boulder, who's being so awesome towards us, but then they did something not necessarily right last year, excluding students from the GOP debate, and it was a contractual thing. But, I commend them for trying to make things right, and I trust they're going to follow through on their end, and it seems they will. But we're prepared no matter how it goes down.
Keep me informed. I want to, certainly give you a voice. I think it's just as important that you have a voice, even though we don't get a voice on. You're still voting?
Well, I want to also say thank you for listening to me. For the legal counsel and UCLA people that may or may not listen to this interview, that our country is crumbling, and no matter how involved you were with the system being endorsed by Clinton or whatnot, we've got to make things right, and free and equal elections is it. Despite the needless and undeserving negativity I received from UCLA in 2014, they should have been supporting, they should have been backing the event. In fact, even arguably funding it with the roster and lineup that we had, and they worked so vigorously against us when they should have been supporting it and bringing in events and urging the students when they were doing the opposite. Now we're at a point where our country is severely at a very scary point. People are needlessly dying throughout the world in other countries, and needless negativity is coming our way. And I hope that the people of UCLA, though they may have been not positive in the past, can make things right for a greater thing for our country that's bigger than any individual educational bureaucracy system, but a movement. And I hope they can make things right and recognize that, yes, we should settle privately, make things right. It's for a great cause as well. And we move forward. And hopefully the educational system will start to clean up their ways. Like Boulder, what they're doing and welcoming us, that's a great thing. We're going to bring a lot of positive energy and exposure that will benefit University of Colorado Boulder, I feel, and maybe attract even more students to want to attend that university, and maybe attract even more speakers and so on to come on campus to spread this message of the direction that the universities really should be shifting towards. So
now that would be an interesting, tack that you should take, is instead of, you go through the process with UCLA just to get some, but emphasizing universities that espouse the values that you're advocating, and that this openness and participation and you know, truth, justice, and American way, as opposed to, you know, just, you know, a safe space if I was violated and they allowed somebody to talk and I didn't want to hear it.
No, I want the universities to want us, and I think they're going to. I think in 18 and 20, we're going to have inquiries from many universities saying, please, please come here, because what we message and what we put out there is so beautiful, it's so pure, it's so solution-based, and it's fun. And I think that, again, it's going to bring about more credibility within this educational system, which is key.
I tell you the credibility that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And one is the emphasis on, you know, the accuracy of the actual numbers, the counting. That is so jacked up. And I saw it coming in the early 90s. I tell you what, how it was so obvious to me. I was running against the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. You know, it was Democrat, Speaker was Republican. And it was us three up there. And I did pretty well. I got 7-8% or something. So they were like, you know, damn. Well, what happened was they were going, yeah, you know what he said. And so I knew they were BS and lying, didn't matter. But they wanted to be Secretary of State so bad at these high levels. Why? Because that was the transition. They had just passed legislation making it illegal for you to ever compare the manual paper ballots with what the computer said. When a judge would do a recount, they made it very clear. Nope, you pushed a button again. Yep, says the same thing. And I go,
wow.
I go, they go, how do you know? I go, I got proof. And they go, oh, what's your proof? And the microphones get close, and I go, they passed legislation making it impossible for you to ever find it. How much proof do you need? You know, I'm going, seriously, this is, I'm like, oh my God, it's like I take a crazy pill. So from the beginning, I understood that this is just, so I dealt on a philosophical level. You know, it was a totally different perspective that I brought to this because I always win. I always make my point. I always free more minds. I always plant a sliver in their brain. I want to make sure that, you know, they're questioning the right things. But one of the things that I'm in competition with is you, is where you go, no, if we did it right, and we go, and I'm going, no, okay, I support it because we got to go through this. We got to check that box. They always say, did you vote? Did you write your congressman? Did you talk to your legislator? Did you file suit? Did you run for office? Check, 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 bunch of times. And I'm going, I get it. Well, everybody else needs to get it. So that's why I advocate you coming on having your say. I'm just encouraging, when you have these presentations, where's that one guy that, one, focuses on the accuracy of it? It sounds like you got a little bit of that. And the other going, you know, another option is not voting. Oh, hell no. We're not going to have that guy talk. Well, I think it would lend credibility if you had a good, you know, advocacy, a good guy doing that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there. I mean, you know, I'm probably, you know, get a bunch off the top of my head, but it's just, I think it lends credibility. Now, of course, that's what the focus is of this newspaper, and what's it going to be? In 1,200 convention packets at the Libertarian National Convention at the end of the month in Orlando. And it was, you know, what do you think they're going to say? Well, what the hell do you think I've been telling them for 20 years? I'm going, yeah, but the level, I go, it never said vote, Ron Paul. I don't care. You know, it's all about public opinion, and when public's opinion is that the entire system is jacked up and it's not accurate, it doesn't represent them, you know, I think there will be change, and there's going to be support for what you're doing, probably greater than I think you think, but it's going to be as a stepping stone towards an understanding of something even larger. So I encourage, we have to go through the stage that you're advocating. I think we have to. We have to go through. We have to have it accurate. We have to have alternatives. We have to have, you know, even discussion about not voting. But I'm just going to, which level to vote? Is it federal? Is it state? Is it local? I mean, these kinds of things is just education. And you bring in a lot wider group of people. Because when I was gauging, when I first started, it was the Minuteman that you see in Ernest Hancock, that little Minuteman logo. That was created back in 89, 90. That was, it used to say, vote, this time it matters. And the reason I did that It was a big campaign, sign campaign we had here in Arizona. It was because they changed the voter registration to where anybody could register themselves as opposed to having to go to a deputy registrar that was Republican or Democrat. Only the two major parties could even register people to vote. Gee, I wonder why there's no libertarians. So we were like, no, and that was my lawsuits that went to the Ninth Circuit, and I argued oral argument before, blah, blah, blah. It was all of this kind of stuff. Well, that vote this time, it matters, kind of evolved and it doesn't really matter anymore. But it wasn't that I didn't try. I was 20 whatever years ago. I was, man, hardcore on. And then I got a look at the sausage being made and I'm going, oh, I get it. It's a psyop. They get us in this support of thinking we get the illusion of choice. So it's right. 95 Matrix
grand
comes,
illusion.
Yeah, you know, the Matrix comes out and they're starting to, you know, I get it. That entire freaking three-part trilogy of Matrix was all about the illusion of choice, and that's what they've given us. Once you break free of that, all of a sudden you're really free. And the thing is that if you transition or give voice to that illusion of choice thing a little bit, all of a sudden it not only gives a lot more credibility to what you're doing, you have a much wider audience, and the people will still advocate and go through the transition of, yes, it needs to be accurate. We have to, you know, make sure that we have an opportunity for it to work the way it's supposed to. But they'll screw it up another way. And I've seen it, the progression happen. They have city clerks that were, you know, from a, it's a long story. They have a selected group of people you pick from the B, and what do? They get into cities or counties and they advocate for mm-hmm. this computer machine. I've seen it happen.
I've seen the corruption there too with the computer machines and getting accountable people on the office and on the ballot in Chicago. And I saw what they did to try to pull, for example, signature cards through a vetting, basically a challenge process where we're trying to overturn signatures, which should benefit the doubt should be given to the candidate, but never is when you're dealing with these sort of people in office. But I've seen where they pulled the signature cards and suddenly they tell legal counsel that, you know, all the signatures, if we can't look at them, should be bad. And as soon as it's countered, and, you know, again, back to the benefit of the doubt of the candidate trying to get on the ballot, the signature card's not there, then you have to overturn it in their favor. Suddenly the signature cards show up. Oh, we can't get them for weeks. But as soon as they realize that it's helping the candidate to get on the ballot, suddenly it shows up, you know what I mean, within hours.
Yeah.
So I've seen, you know, those computer people. And again, you know, I ran for Secretary of State myself in 2010 in California. So I understand the importance of that office. And when we held our electoral reform symposium, second annual, last year in Colorado, the deputy secretary of state attended. The secretary of state officer was going to come, but he was sick. So his deputy came, and as well as the comptroller, a former congressman, the League of Women Voters. I mean, a really great lineup of people and speakers, and from Rob Ritchie of Fair Vote to Richard Winger and experts coming together. So that's going to evolve even on a bigger platform.
Yeah, we just had Richard on a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think we're so on the same page, Ernie, in so many ways. And
but there's one thing that take a look at, you know, make a note of, is the early balloting. What we found out here in Arizona, the one time that we looked, there were 60, 80,000 unaccounted for early ballots.
Right.
Then we found out when they return them, there was a couple things that we knew to check. When they would send them to county elections, you know, okay, we filled out early ballot and go. It didn't have the postal service of federal government of you know, death and damnation felony if you don't, you know, deliver them right. They could just take them to county elect. Boom, there it is. Drop it off truck. Peace. No. They wanted to pick them up at the post office and send their van with one guy that kind of went off and had a bunch of ballots in the back of the van. I'm like, seriously? Why don't you just have them delivered here? And who goes with him? And now do you watch? I'm like, already I know it's BS. Then you go, okay. We asked them. We did a Freedom of Information request that freaked them out. They didn't know what the hell. We had morning talk show hosts going down there, and we walked them through the process and had some media and Arizona Republic and everything. And there, and Jim Sharp, the morning show, goes like, you know, my spidey senses were going off the entire time. And this was the one main thing that we really emphasized. I want to have your manpower. They didn't expect this because I knew what they needed to do. They would send early ballot request from the party to individual Republicans or Democrats. So the Republicans would get all this early ballot request. They would send in their request for an early ballot as a postcard, and it'd go County Elections Department of Republican, blah, 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 and it made them think that it was going to the county elections or the Secretary of State. What it really did, it went to a P.O. box for the Republican Party. The Republican Party then took that barcoded postcard that was part of the mailing that sent to them, and they ran it through their scanner machine. Well, it printed out a database, big computer paper file that they gave to telemarketers that called everybody, and they go, okay, who are you voting for in this race, this race, this race? Well, if they answered correctly, then that early ballot request was forwarded to the county to send them an early ballot. If they didn't answer the way they wanted, they just threw them in the trash, and we got a bunch of them in their dumpsters. We're going, what the hell is on? Because we always dumpster dive, you know, during elections. So we're going, and we're going, what the hell is this? This is back in the mid-90s. We knew what they were doing. They were sending them all. People that requested the early ballots, they were calling them. If they chose wisely, they forwarded it to the county elections. They got their early ballots. Everybody else didn't. So then they got who they wanted. Then the people that would send them in subsequent years, I go, all right, I want to know if they're checking signatures on these. All of a sudden, there's 60,000 missing. They show up in the what? I go, because once they get signature approved, all the identifying information is gone, and they just put them in a stack of counting ballots. They, you know, once you go through that process and you separate it from the signatures or whatever, it's just a ballot, you can never track them again. So I go, all right. I want to know how many people, what the man hours that have been devoted to the person that checks the signatures. And we went with the media and we sat there, okay, show us how you do this. They go through it. It was average about 10 seconds for them to check a signature. I go, okay, very simple. How many tens of thousands? Well, what they did is the Republicans would hold them up until one big giant dump on a day, tens of thousands that they would send to the county elections at the last minute that they didn't have the manpower to count them. It was physically impossible. And I go, you lying sacks of snot, you are not. They was just bypass that station and just put it into the system and never even check them. So when we showed this stuff, at what point do you call BS on the entire system, Christina?
And that's why I created Free and Equal Elections. I can relate to you like no other. I mean, 2014, when I mentioned how I sued the Democratic state chair, Michael Madigan, for wrongfully using taxpayers' dollars to keep independent Ralph Nader off the ballot, successfully knock him off. What happened was, Ralph submitted the signatures. In Illinois, you have to get 25,000 signatures if you're a third party that is or independent versus only 5,000 if you're DNR to get on the ballot, which the D's and R's use government employees, you know, to get those signatures, unfortunately, in most cases, a lot. Yeah. But what happened is I showed up at the Chicago Board of Elections and had our volunteers defending the signatures. It's line by line. They have these old fashioned terminals where you have to click northeast, southwest to look up a signature, but you only get three tries. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But what I found out the first day or two I was there is that the people who were sitting on the other side trying to knock Ralph Nader off the ballot, one in particular, several of them were part-time or even full-time state employees that worked for Michael Madigan. And they were complaining that they were forced and told to have to sit here and try to knock Ralph Nader off the ballot. So the second or third day, I found out the front desk was not taking IDs. They're supposed to copy the IDs of everybody that comes in, right, legally. And he was a cool guy. And the third day, I knew the legal counsel wasn't going to be there for some reason because of his pattern. He slacked the second, third, fourth day. And so I asked him if he could just ID everybody when they came in. And when he did, everybody kind of hesitantly, okay, handed over their ID, their state employees, and he copied them. And as soon as I grabbed the copy from the tray, the attorney came in really upset, and somebody from the back who worked with them, he was an insider, grabbed the tray with all the pieces of paper to make them disappear. But I held up the copies and I looked at him. I said, too late. And I walked out. And, you know, that was the kind of, you know, sued Michael Madigan. And unfortunately, up against its flawed judicial system, it did not win and I could not appeal. But, you know, my $10,000 plus later, it went national and we held a protest 6 weeks in a row in front of his office. And not many people know this story, you know, and I had all the permits. The 6 week, the officers came to me and said, Christina, because I became friends with them, you know, they're like, Michael Madigan strictly told us we are to arrest you, put handcuffs on you if you don't stop this protest. I said, well, I have all the permits, all the paperwork.
Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on.
And, you know, I said, well, I'm already planning to go to Bali, Indonesia. And at that point, I stopped the protest. It was getting huge. I mean, we were from dozens of people to 50 to hundreds. It was growing and the media was showing up and it just shows right there. You know, that, I went to Bali for 3 years and took a break because, this corrupt system and really realized I got to go national to beat these, to put an end to this corruption. So I feel for you. I've just seen what they will do.
Well, you see, I'm so much more at peace because I know where the real battle is. It's just public opinion.
Yes.
It's just their opinion. Opinion of what? Opinion we should have, I don't know, accurate voting, or opinion we should, you know, listen to all our options, or opinion that, you know, screw the whole thing, or opinion, whatever it's going to wind up being, it's going to be opinion. So that's where I deal in. You know, the Levolution was not about, you know, anything other than how long can we keep Dr. Paul up on the podium. I didn't give a crap whether everybody's on my, Ernie, we need, especially the campaign, a lot of the activists, they didn't care, but the campaign, Ernie, we need you to do this and that and kind of in help of the delegations of doing the straw poll of the guy going, whoa, 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 whoa. That sounds like political crap. That's your problem. I don't even have an opinion. I don't care. You know, it's all about public opinion that Dr. Paul be on that podium. That's all I cared about. So this is, you know, and I'm my public opinion benefit to you is that you should keep doing what you're doing. Anybody that's participating in the process, if they're not advocating for more voices, certainly the ones that the criteria for me would be at least that can be president, you know, has enough electoral college on the ballot in certain states or something. And then, of course, the advocacy that they, you know, can have equal access to even get on the ballot. And this party thing is BS. And then accuracy of the ballot. I mean, you know, these kinds of things, we can't even get to the next level until we, you know, get that taken care of, which is why I'm supporting you. Hey, I'll let you go.
I wanted to end on one more note.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's so important that, you know, the reason we're creating these symposiums and festivals and debates and conversations is because we're going to upload all that information into that election assistant, because in order to inspire and attract the sort of candidates that are going to run for Congress and local offices, and I think they're again going to be the people that are asked by their community and the people to run for these offices, but they need to have the tools to become informed. They need to click on and say, oh, this guy believes in not voting. Why? This person believes we should have paper ballots. Well, where are they coming from? Oh, maybe we should have online voting, like Follow My Vote, good money behind it. I'm not really sure what's the answer. What are the alternative voting methods? How do we do instant runoff voting? Click here, you know, to do an actual ballot sample. So we're going to provide all those tools through the workshops to educate not only the people running for office, but, you know, those that want to become informed. So I think, again, that educational component's key, and the power is going to be and is in our hands and these cell phones, and that's just the times of now and the future. So
yeah, I tell you what if I were to they're doing blockchain accuracy in voting. There have other there's companies, what they call it, Factum and Ethereum, and a lot of these others that are advocating for different countries like Honduras and Chile, mm-hmm. and a lot of these that need to get into more legitimate government services that can be accurately, not just somebody went in public record with $5,000 and bribed a guy or a gun to their forehead to change it, and now I own it kind of crap. So this kind of good government attempts are being done with technology. If I can get these guys to come up with sample legislation that would be an initiative at the city level here in Arizona. I pick a city, and it could be, some of these are as few as a couple of thousand, like Glendale, Arizona. I got an initiative on for 1,800 signatures. You know, so I'm going, I do this. And matter of fact, that initiative was manual validation. And they freaked. But if I go ahead and get something that would be ranked choice voting using a blockchain of a defined kind of get it on the ballot and doing we're going to have it accurate and here we go. Could I get your support on that?
Yeah, definitely. I'm all for, I mean, in Maine, they ran a drive out there for instant runoff voting. And I think that we need to bring about more of those initiatives.
How did that go?
I believe that it's successful. I got to check in on that. So,
well, they were saying, well, you're asking for a corrupt system to accurately depict your desire for a not corrupt system. I go, I know.
Well, again, I'm all for getting the discussions out there. And it's one thing to introduce legislation. But again, the people in office, they benefit. They're there primarily because of not only the money in politics, but they spend so much time creating these, this electoral fraud, you know, all of these barriers from ballot access to not passing these sort of legislation, things that are great from what it seems of what you're
saying.
Well,
these initiatives that would be, you know, to advocate.
Oh, initiatives. I misheard. Okay.
Well, no. Definitely. It's an initiative. No, it's I get 2,000 signatures. Boom! It's on the ballot. Vote done.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, that's different. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I've done this many times. We had Citizens Take an Initiative as the name of our newspaper. One year we did 36 initiatives. You know, three or four of them became law. Where you think unrestricted concealed carry came from was an initiative that we did in 1994. You know, the drug stuff, the access to airwaves, Citizens Grand Jury, Fiji, I mean, on and on and on. We're real butt heads here. But the thing is that if I do this, you know, that platform would be, of course, that I would use to, like, you know, if we don't get this fixed, I just want to make sure everybody knows that not voting is an option. And that would be part of that, but we want to offer but if you're voting and you think, man, whatever, you know, and then I would put you up front. You need to be the front person because I don't care, okay? But I would love to have this technology as an example of doing it. It would be easy for us. You know, I don't have a problem doing that. And think about it. I think the Glendale election is an off year, so by 17, the campaign would start immediately after this election.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea. I think, the angle of not voting, again, I don't believe in mandatory voting. And I think people should know that they have the right to exercise the right not to vote. But my hope is to inspire people by implementing alternative voting methods like what you're doing. It's a good step.
This is where you and I can overlap. This is where we'll get in. I will advocate I'll pay to put it on the ballot. Okay, we get it on the ballot. We're going to have a ranked choice there's a bunch of different ones. That's probably one of my
Ernie. You should know the only other company I run is Free Nicole Inc., which is a petitioning company, and we were actually. An inquiry by Jim Webb, we put together an entire independent presidential ballot drive, which takes 990,000 signatures, which we recommended collecting over 1.6 million with 100% verification. So, we submitted those bids to Sanders and Trump as well. And unfortunately, neither one initiated that independent presidential ballot drive. But I have the team to be able to get multiple independent presidential candidates on the ballot in 2020. So initiatives is what I love doing on the side. That's where I will be able to stabilize, and the resources that I get from that I will use to help many others in the world. The foundation for Equal Elections, the C3, is for the people, and I think the money for that should be used for the initiatives that they choose, online voting or however it may be, to support that funding towards, and they should see through open source, where it's being devoted to. So those are the two hats and only hats I wear, and I'll be putting those details on my domain. ChristinaTobin.com.
Rock and roll.
Future.
Okay,
yeah, I'm happy to help manage that for you.
Okay, let me see. Click here. Look, I'm looking at like Glendale here, because Glendale is probably second largest, third largest, one of the larger cities here, and I remember it being a really low number. Let's see.
I want to be able to help collect signatures to get all those people for Congress and local races on the ballot where they need help at the most affordable. I think eventually when we get the right people in office, we need to probably rid or at the very least make the signature requirement the exact same for a Democrat, Republican, third party, and independent, and then go from there. But we have to get the right people in office first, which will happen. It has to.
Well, it's one thing you and I, we didn't talk about during the show on air, and I probably should just make a, announcement people know. the Democratic Party is negotiating with it. We're going to find out probably today, you know, because I want to get it in the newspaper. They're funding our U.S. Senate race against John McCain to make sure a libertarian gets on the ballot, because the Republicans changed the laws to make it almost impossible for libertarians to get on the ballot, certainly from libertarian registration. So, I mean, you know, you got to go into other parties to get the enough signature. We're like, what the hell is that? So it's in lawsuit and all that other stuff. But, you know, the Democrats see that their only way of having a chance of beating McCain is having a libertarian in the race. And we're like, okay, I think you should do that. So we're negotiating there tonight. That's just how real politics happens. But we're open about it. We're going, look, you know, when we do this, the Democrat, you guys got to stand right there next to a Secretary of State when we file and say, yep, and we're working together, because they've done it before. In 14, they spent $500,000, you know, to do a referendum on legislation they did to eliminate libertarians. And when we got the signatures and put it to be on the ballot, the Republicans pulled the legislation. And they said, nope, we changed it again. So I'm going, this is so corrupt at so many levels, but what is our goal? You know, it's just bring attention to this. And Christina Tobin is helping, you know, freeandequal.org. All right, I'm going to look at this. I think it's about 2,000 signatures. I'm looking here trying to find out what the requirements are. But
I personally collected 5,000 for my dad back in 2002, which I didn't mention.
I've done my share, but I'd rather hire you.
Well, now I know I know who the best in the industry, you know, that do it right and are very would even help promote the cause to the people, you know, gathering the signatures for. So from, but okay, great, Ernie. Well, it was so beautiful catching up with you, and I wish the best with you and Donna, and keep in close contact. And yeah, definitely anything anyone can do to help Free and Equal Elections is needed more than ever. Tens of thousands of dollars you know, will help us to really prevail on our suit against UCLA, which will happen no matter what. And of course, more so towards our United We Stand Fest, and be able to elevate it. So little money, the return I feel will be like no other. So,
all right, if you'll take this on and work with me on this, because I'm, you know, I make sure it happens and we have fun with it, but I'm just not the advocate and I don't care. But, you know, if we can have a good campaign, and we'll work together on this to have a real fundamental change in the actual voting, just pick a small community and we'll just do it just for grins and giggles, I can probably raise the money for it. So
yeah, and give us a good press list in Arizona, and we can possibly blast that out as well, an informational piece at the very least.
Already got it ready.
Remember, the foundation's a C3. It's a nonprofit, so its ability to support and endorse is one thing, but I personally can endorse things, so if I want to. Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll work it out. Hey, thanks a lot. You know, we had a good time, and I'm sure we'll do something.
Yeah, definitely. Keep in touch, Ernie.
All right, bye-bye, Christina.
Ciao.